If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
All right, listen up. I don't like white people.
Rodney on the Rock, and I want a hand of applause for yourselves. How about a hand for our K-Rock listeners? Now, this is rock and roll, definitely. This is the way rock has always been. Rain, sleet, or snow.
I don't know what you're on, but you better get to the point and quick.
This is so Godhead, it's not even funny. This is beyond amazing.
Dynamite drop-in at broadcast school has really paid off.
This is retarded.
Hello. Oh my goodness. Hello. Ew. Strong bringing.
Don't have sex, because you will get pregnant and die. Don't have sex in the missionary position. Don't have sex standing up. Just don't do it, promise?
And now, I'm not telling.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, come on.
Jeez, B.
You can't do that to us.
You're evil.
It has got to be Friday. Are you kidding me?
What the hell is
Tell
wrong
me this
with
week's
you?
Not over. What are you talking about?
It's Monday morning. You can't play that song on Monday morning.
No, it can't be Monday. Can't be Monday morning. Dude, where's my weekend?
It's so gone.
Can't be Monday.
It's Monday, dude. Brand new week.
Did any of you guys stay at the hotel or was it just me?
I didn't.
I wish I would have after hearing who was there.
Who was there?
Well, there was a sorority girl convention, first of all, Lisa.
I did hear about that.
Yes.
Sorority girls, there were 800 sorority girls staying at the hotel that we were staying at in Irvine down by the K-Rock Weenie Rose TVS in 2007. Oh, they were sorority girls 50 years ago. It was a reunion. The sorority girls reunion.
That's right up your alley.
It is, really.
It
was like a walking Golden Girls convention. It was amazing.
No one under 75 years old, right?
Nope,
pretty much?
No one under 75.
Wow.
That's right. And I talked to one of the guys at the hotel, and I swear to God he told me this. He said that the sorority convention rocked harder, partied later, and louder than the K-Rock people and the bands from the Weenie Roast.
That's a letdown.
He told me they were going off. So I'm in bed. It's Saturday night, and of course, Weenie Roast was a big success, but it was a long day. It was hot, and it was loud, and everything like that. So I was just so happy to get back to the nice quiet room, or so I thought. But it's the wrong hotel in America to be staying at after the Weenie Roast. You know,
well, no kidding. Yeah,
because you know, Queens of the Stone Age is on your floor. I mean, it's that's the kind of partying that's going on. So I'm laying in bed, and there's so much noise. I mean, I'm up on the ninth floor, and I'm hearing all this noise. And it's da-na, da-na. I hear these people chanting, da-na, da-na. And I'm like, what on earth can be going on? So I go outside, and as I get closer to it, I realize they're chanting, Omar, Omar,
Are
Omar.
You kidding me?
But Omar didn't go.
On the floor of my hotel, on the floor that I'm staying at the hotel, he's on his hands and knees, and he's being ridden like a horsey by some of the Jose Cuervo girls from the Weenie Roast.
Wow.
He's got two of them on his back, they're topless, and they're whipping
cool
up and everything like that. And then as I'm starting to get closer to find out what's going on, he's snorting ants off the floor.
Ants.
There's a line of ants walking down the hallway in the hotel. Omar is down there snorting them while these girls are... What?
Hey,
Omar,
hey,
what?
Beam, hey,
I'm trying to tell a story here. What, Omar?
That wasn't me. I didn't go to the show. I was stuck back here at K-Rock.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Seriously, that was me.
I think that was Rodney, right?
Probably.
It might have been Rodney. Maybe I got it wrong. It was Rodney.
Yeah,
Rodney.
You two look alike.
Yeah, dude.
Topless Jose Cuervo girls and snorting ants?
No, ants. Not
they
me.
Don't let you go to anything.
No, they don't.
That's unbelievable. It was like 10 hours long and you're stuck back at the studio.
We started mocking him a long time ago for this because, as you heard from the K-Fed performance,
I go off when
he goes
I party.
Off. No one goes off more than Omar. And that's what's so funny about the fact that he's got to sit back here on Saturday.
Drives me insane.
For hours running the board, pushing the buttons. He's the only one in the room. Everybody else is someplace else having fun.
And you can't imagine. It sucks so, bad because you hear Kevin, first when he's sober, then he has a couple of beers. And then they're broadcasting. I'm like, oh, dude, I wish I was there,
Come on, how
sucks.
Dare you?
Sucks so bad.
At least Omar doesn't show it, though. At least he's a cheery guy when he's back here and you're talking to him in the studio. He sounds like Dick Cheney when he's working the boards back here. He's all right, 10 seconds left in the song.
So bummed, dude.
You having fun back there, Omar? Yeah, enough of the comedy. All right, here comes the White Stripes.
Well, it was quite a party, yo. I'm sorry you missed it. Yeah, you would have enjoyed it.
Me too. You would have liked it really a lot, probably.
It was good.
I imagine.
Yeah. All right. Well, go back in your little room.
All right.
Poor sucker. That's the best.
I can't believe he couldn't even go to that.
It really is the, if you were just to line everybody up and pick the one guy that it would hurt the most to have to stay back, it would be him.
What's funny is that if I had any talent to do what Omar does, I should be the guy who's at the station running the
Yeah, because you hate people and you hate crowds and you hate noise.
It'd be way better. Yeah. Be a way better choice. By the way, speaking of the K-Rock, when you were at CFS, the 2007, Ben Wiener from the Orange County Register?
Hated it.
Thought it was maybe the best weenie roast ever.
No way.
Really? That's the guy that hates it every single year?
Every year. In fact, he starts off in his article talking about how he expected it was going to be weak. He was not at all excited about the lineup. And then he went and just raved about what a great show it was.
No kidding.
Wow.
What happened
so
to him?
Different.
Don't
he
know.
Every
he
year,
hates.
Every
Maybe
year
drank.
He does the you know, he does the review for the Weenie Roast, and he always hates it. And so right. then we say, well, you know, why give the guy tickets? If he right. knows he's going to hate it, just write the article ahead of time and give somebody else a pair of tickets.
Yeah, truly.
Because we've had some years that have been phenomenal with just great band after great band, and he's figured out some way to have a bad time.
Yeah.
And this time, he went in the opposite direction completely. I was so surprised by that. But
what was his did he like the older bands? Did he like the Bad Religion and the Social D? What?
He thought they gave great performances.
They
he
did.
Really was expecting Korn to suck, but he thought they were terrific.
They
he
were terrific.
Was really impressed with Linkin Park. He thought the Incubus show was awesome. I mean, he just went on and on. It was really... It was kind of shocking. At first, when I started reading the article, I was like, well, this can't be Ben Wiener. He must have hired somebody else to go for him. He didn't go this year. He just put his name on it, you know?
Wow. But
apparently, he liked it. So, yeah, it was good times.
I don't know what to do with that information. You know, it's like the world isn't normal anymore.
I know.
Because we always disagree with him. That's the problem.
We should call him and have him reconsider.
I don't really think we want to do that.
Ben, seriously, it wasn't that good, was it? Maybe not. I'll write another one. Yeah, he's consistent, at least, until this year.
Yeah.
That's right.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Monday, the 21st of May. I see them.
Nice set of Hooters you got there.
What's happening? How was your weekend, Lisa?
Well, Saturday was awesome.
Fantastic.
Had a great time. And then Sunday, I saw a play. So I had a great weekend.
Wow.
I saw a new play by the guy that wrote M. Butterfly at the
Taper
don't
care.
Called
All right,
Yellow
so,
Faces. Yellow Faces.
Hey! You had me at I went to a play. And then I don't need any.
Come on, you guys. How can you not love that?
Are there some hot Asian chicks in it?
Yes, there are.
I'm not kidding when I say it's not possible for there to be that many plays in this city. She sees three a weekend. And if you were to ask me before your whole obsession, I would have said, I don't know. There's a couple plays going on in town probably.
Wow.
Really, seriously. You know, who knows? There's a couple places I know they have plays. I don't really go. I would have thought there would be a couple of them for 4 or 5 months. And then, you know, maybe they'd change one. That's what I thought. Somehow, Lisa,
you are so out of touch.
I know. Well, that's
But
that
I guess
happens.
It's like, I mean, it's like bands, little bands that you can see all over L.A.
Yeah, I guess
same
so.
Same thing.
I guess so.
I mean, I think people would be surprised to know that every night there's probably 3 or 4 shows they could go to anywhere.
But the little bands that you see all over town suck ass. And so do your plays, I'm sure.
Sometimes.
Yeah, okay.
I have to admit that.
All right, good. Because there are a lot of bad bands out there.
Yes.
538, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
We got some recap on the K-Rock Weenie Roast E-Fiesta. We're going to need your phone calls. As you know, we can't be everywhere and see everything. So we're going to need your calls coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. Got a lot of email from people. Guy broke his ankle. All kinds of stuff.
Great.
Good times.
Yeah.
We have David Alan Greer in the studio.
He's always fun.
How about that?
Funny man, David Alan Greer. We have highlights of National Bingo Night.
A game that's fast, fun, and so easy to win.
All right, I'm going to stop right there and save the rest for later. But how fast is bingo? Does bingo strike you as the game that's fast?
No, it's the slowest game in history. They're putting a coat of gold on that turd, and there's no possible way that's working.
It can't be fast. It's for the old people.
Yes.
It has to be slow.
what you do when you play bingo is wait. That's what you do. No game where you spend most of your time waiting can be described as fast or fun for that matter.
But man, they dress that up with a lot of sound effects and buzzers and dings and music.
You have no idea.
Lights.
You have no idea. This was the weirdest television show I think I've ever seen.
We talked to, I think his name was Ed Sanders, who's the host of this show on Friday.
Yeah.
And we told him this is a bad idea. Bingo blows. It's for old people. Why would you do this TV show? Don't do it. Reconsider.
Well, it came in third for the time slot. It
excellent.
Beat whatever Fox had on. Oh. I don't know what they were wearing at the time, but they've got to reconsider that choice. I'll tell you that. it did get beat by NBC and CBS, whatever shows they were having. So I don't know. I mean, I predicted last week that it would air twice. So we'll see if it ends up getting twice.
Those shows are so cheap to make, though.
That's exactly what it is. And
yeah,
as you'll be hearing more.
I'm sure they'll be fine with that.
That's right. You'll be hearing more and more throughout the summer that there's a likelihood of a writer's strike again this year.
Oh,
so your
kidding.
Networks more than ever are looking for shows that don't need writers, like reality shows and game shows. And that's one of the reasons why a show like this, they're willing to give it the benefit of the doubt because it's something they can still make in the event that they can't make Boston Legal next year, you know?
But don't you go through every idea for a game show and Bingo really is the last one available?
I think it's got to be ahead of Monopoly when you really stop and think about watching TV. Ahead of Monopoly.
I don't know. That's a good question.
I'm not watching it. I know
He totally landed on St. Charles. Unbelievable.
And with play-by-play, that might work.
Also on today's show, we're going to talk about guys who name their cars.
I don't think I knew guys did that.
I didn't either.
I think only gay guys do. I'm pretty sure it's just gay guys, yeah.
Two of the guys here at the station name their cars. And Dave, the King of Mexico, and Omar.
It's a brown thing.
It's a brown thing, yeah.
No, I don't think so. Psycho Mike?
No, I've never named my car. Yeah. And that's the thing, is that it's not that two guys here at the show named their cars. It's that they were so angry beyond belief that we would question the fact that they named their cars.
Yeah.
That's how we got into this argument.
No kidding.
But why does your car need a name? I mean, you can't call it to come to you, right? It doesn't start itself and drive over to you.
I don't know. I really don't have the answer to that.
Affection, right?
I mean,
it's determined if you love your car, you name it. Boats have names.
But boats always do. But neither of these guys are what you would consider a car guy, are they?
That's absolutely true.
So it's not coming from a point of, restoring a car or you love a certain kind. It's just that.
No, you're right about that.
Like Dave had like. Well, we'll get into it. But I mean, Dave had like girly names for his car, too. It wasn't like Spike. And
Spike would have been okay.
It was like Sassy Frassy Tallahassee and Little Miss Dandy. I love her. She was so good to me.
But Todd would have been fine with you?
Yeah, or like Jonathan.
And also on today's show, we have Adrian Pesdar, who plays Nathan Petrelli.
The next president of the United States of America, perhaps.
Tonight, the season finale of Heroes.
Oh, my gosh.
And the season finale of 24. So that's
a night for
big
you.
Night for me, yeah. So that's all coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show, plus a student who lives in his truck. So good times there. Her car, I think it is. So we'll get to all that. Ralph has the showbiz beat, and that's coming up next.
It is Monday morning. David Alan Greer on the show later on today, and Adrian Pasdar. Ralph, you're going to be able to survive getting through today's show to get to tonight's heroes?
No!
He wants it now.
I want to be a hero. I just want to blink forward in the future and then just have it be 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock, whatever the hell the show is.
Whatever time the show's on.
Just, hello, New York! And then boom, I'm watching it.
Dude, he's going to be inconsolable. Inconsolable. After tomorrow.
Non-consolable.
Tomorrow. He's going to go, I can't wait for a whole 3 months.
Oh, I can't wait till September. I need September to roll around.
Oh, God.
Now they're going to put Nuclear Guy back together again.
Best
show on television.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Ralph is here to find out what we missed while we were weenying over the weekend. What's going on, Ralph?
On top of Monday being Heroes Day.
Yeah.
Today's a very special Monday.
Because?
I'd like to wish everyone a happy May. What's today? May 22nd?
May 21st.
21st. First. Oh, never mind. It's tomorrow then.
Never mind.
I'll tell you tomorrow what it is. It's very important. Don't look. Can't tell you.
Is it an anniversary of something?
No, it's a brand new holiday.
A new holiday?
That you can look forward to all day today because it's tomorrow. May 22nd
mm-hmm.
is Worldwide Talk Like Yoda Day.
Great.
Are you kidding me?
I kid you not. Yes. Oh, sure. You celebrate Talk Like a Pirate Day. But have you had a chance to celebrate Talk Like Yoda Day?
Hmm. No, you have not. Not half day celebrate like that.
So tomorrow I'll be talking like Yoda all day.
Looking forward. Well, don't to feel it? Like you have to just because somebody made that a day. I mean, it's not like it's a requirement.
Talk like Yoda, I must.
Do they have to go through any kind of governing body to name it a day?
Name any day you can.
Okay.
They should get that commissioner from National Bingo Night. He should have to certify it.
No bingo.
Commissioner.
Bingo commissioner.
Okay. It's tomorrow, Ralph.
Tomorrow?
Not today.
Voice like this will get annoying, it will.
Yes, it will, very quickly.
Tomorrow?
Well, congratulations to Shrek the Third. Did okay for itself this weekend at $122 million at the box office.
What? Wow.
$122 million. That's American dollars, by the way. That's not pesos.
American
dollars? American dollars.
Is that real cash money?
Right there, real cash money at the box office. Yeah. Not too shabby.
Well, were we guessing in the 50 to 70?
I think I said like 50. You said 70. We were both thinking it was going to be coming in low ball this weekend.
$122 million.
Did pretty well for itself. That's an opening weekend record for an animated film and the third biggest box office opening of all time. Obviously, it knocked Spider-Man 3 from the top of the box office list. Spidey pulled another $28.5 million this weekend. Dropped another well over 50%.
Most average weekends, the number one movie doesn't get $28
million. Yep.
Average.
Spidey's only made $282 million so far.
That's it?
In 3 weeks, yeah. Here's how the rest of the top 10 rounded out. Number three, was 28 weeks later with $5.2 million.
Good movie.
Disturbia, still hanging in there in the top five, made $4.4 million. Good enough to keep it at number four. Georgia Rule was number five at the box office this weekend. Then Fracture, the new Anthony Hopkins film. Delta Farce was number seven. That's The Invisible, Hot Fuzz, and Waitress, rounding out your top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. Waitress, the new Keri Russell film.
Such a good movie.
She's a pie expert,
loved
I hear.
It. Yes, she is.
She's an expert in
I have
pies.
No paparazzi.
How come this thing isn't working?
It's a bad already. Monday when I come in here and there's no paparazzi.
My God.
See, one of Psycho Mike's little chores in the morning is to make sure that my paparazzi are
He'll
ready.
He'll get around to it by about 7-ish.
On Tuesday?
Yeah.
Bad news for Farrah Fawcett. Of course, you remember her as one of the original Charlie's Angels and also being just a nut loaf. Well, after having a clean bill of health only 3 months ago on her 60th birthday, she just found out that the cancer she was fighting has returned.
Oh, no.
So she has decided against chemotherapy. She's going to do radiation therapy instead. They have this brand new type of radiation therapy where they put a pellet inside you, a little radiation pellet.
Really?
And they implant it near the tumor, and hopefully it shrinks it and helps you battle the cancer. So she's going through that. Of course, we wish her the best. Even nutty people shouldn't be sick with cancer.
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Radiation pellet.
Radiation pellet, by the way, is on the side stage this weekend.
Oh, good.
They're great.
Maybe she'll be able to manufacture webs from her wrists if she gets the radiation in the right spot.
That's true.
No, I think a spider's got to bite you for that to happen.
Oh, is that how it works?
Jessica Simpson and John Mayer have split up, according to the spokespeople. Oh, the whirlwind romance is over. However, friends, they don't expect it to happen. Don't expect them to stay apart for too long. People magazine claims friends say they talk 6 times a day on the phone now that they've broken up, and they've split and reconciled before at least 10 times.
Oh, wow.
Nice melons.
So this whole story could be meaningless, but then most of my stories are. It's a funny thing about Jessica Simpson, by the way. She's been everywhere all the time because she doesn't apparently record music or do anything else anymore.
Right.
Her job, right?
Yeah. She was at the Cannes Film Festival, and the New York Daily News says their reporter overheard Jude Law talking to his agent saying, "What is she doing here?" So,
and then he followed that up with, "Have her meet me in my room."
Yeah. "Look at those butter bags," he added. How about a former Backstreet Boy becoming a UN ambassador?
No.
It could happen.
No.
Nick Carter of the Backstreet Boys has just been appointed by the UN to chairman the Year of the Dolphin program.
What? What the hell?
He is giving his substantial fame to raise awareness about the possibility of extinction for dolphins and says he's going to write a song about the subject.
That's going to be a great song.
Yes, it will. So, be kind to a dolphin, people.
Nick Carter.
Won't you? It's the Year of the Dolphin. Be kind to one.
Wasn't it, was it Live that had that Cry of the Dolphin BS song that we played here on K-Rock for a while? Didn't they do some sort of dolphin-related song?
I don't know.
You guys remember the band Live?
Yeah,
I remember the
band.
I don't remember the Cry of the Dolphin song, though.
Yeah. That's going to be a good one, though. You're right.
Sure is.
Can't wait.
You know what song I do remember, though? 8675309.
Sure.
Remember that 80s song by Tommy Two-Tone? Jenny? Jenny, I got your number?
Sure.
Apparently a big lawsuit going on.
Now?
Big Tommy Two-Tone lawsuit going on between two companies in Rhode Island that are battling over the phone number. Jen Plumbing and Heating and Clockwork Home Services are in court battling over who gets to use the 8675309 number. Because they both want it, because everyone knows it, and they both are in the same business of doing plumbing and heating repair. There's a huge lawsuit going on right now.
That's not a waste of their money.
No, not at all. How about 1-800-PLUMBER or something? Yeah. Wouldn't that be more useful?
Makes more sense.
If I'm thinking plumber, I'm not thinking, oh, I should call Jenny right now.
Jack Steffen.
When the
damn it.
When the song came out.
Jack Stefanski. Sorry.
When the song came out, there were people in this country who unfortunately had that phone number and just couldn't stand it, had to give it up because just people were calling all the time, day and night. That song was on the radio for a year.
In the New England area where this lawsuit is taking place, it belonged to Brown University. And they finally said, you know what? F this. We're tired of the prank phone calls, so we're giving it up. And that's when these two guys started fighting over it. 20 years later, people still fighting over that phone number.
Wow.
It's pretty funny.
We don't have time now, Ralph, and I don't want to eat into your time.
Damn.
Perhaps someday when we're out of stories, ask me to tell you the story about how I tried to talk a grocery store into giving up their phone number to me.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about that. He liked their phone number, so he went down there.
Are you serious?
We'll save it for another time. That's a cool phone number.
That's a break in and of itself.
God.
And they wouldn't give it to me.
Well, because you're an ass.
Bastards. I liked it more than they did.
You.
What a dork.
What a douche. I'm just saying.
I'm just saying you're a massive dork. You're a dork of mythic proportions. Britney Spears.
Guilty.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, what'd she do?
Here's the thing. She insisted on being let off a flight. United Airlines flight from Los Angeles to Miami on Friday night.
Right.
Demanded to be let off just minutes before takeoff.
No alcohol?
Nope. Worse. Because the plane didn't have, wait for it, leather seats.
No possible
way.
And
she can't sit on fabric?
Apparently not. She said, I'm not flying this plane. It doesn't have leather seats. So she delayed the flight. The jetway was still connected, luckily. So they stopped the flight. They allowed her to get off, and it delayed the flight about half an hour before the rest of the people could take off.
Why would they indulge her?
Because she was insistent about let off the plane.
Told her, shut up.
Yeah.
Can't sit on a seat that's not leather. Bite me.
Apparently, the captain apologized to passengers without mentioning what the problem was, but people in first class said it was her demanding to be let off the flight.
Wow.
Wow.
That's amazing.
She's gone bye-bye.
Yeah. I would have punched her right in the...
Yeah.
And another celebrity bitch in the news, Oprah Winfrey, according to Star Magazine, stayed one night at the California Hotel and Spa and was a major pain in the ass to the staff there.
I'm so fat.
Oprah sent back bottled water because it wasn't room temperature.
Oh, jeez.
Like she drinks water. Like he's not just sucking down pancake syrup in her room.
I'm so fat.
She ordered breakfast from the room service when she was checking out that morning and said she has to have it in 10 minutes because she doesn't like to wait.
10 minutes?
So everyone else's orders got shoved aside in the kitchen and they made hers first.
Oh, dear God. I guess she probably can get away with behavior like that because she could actually buy the hotel and fire everyone if she doesn't like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The worst part is after they made her breakfast, no food left for the other clients at the hotel.
You know why?
I'm so fat.
That's exactly right, my friend.
That's sad.
Fat she is.
Nope, that's tomorrow.
Oh, sorry.
Tomorrow.
Just getting warmed up.
Yeah.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Richard Hatch. Not the fat guy from Survivor.
Oh.
But Richard Hatch, the guy from Battlestar Galactica, the original, and also the new one. He plays Tom Zarek on the Battlestar Galactica show. He's 62 years old today. He was Starbuck in the original. Yeah. Ring a bell?
Didn't see the original.
Never cared for the original?
No.
All right. Lisa Edelstein, who plays Dr. Lisa Cuddy on House.
Ooh.
Second best show on television. She's 39 years old today. Al Franken, comedian from Saturday Night Live, now currently a radio personality who's running for Senate.
Yep.
He is 56 years old today. And Mr. T.
Mr.
Mother Effin' T. Celebrates his 55th birthday today. So, happy birthday.
Remember that Respect Your Mother song?
Oh, sure.
I have that if you want to hear a little of it. Miserable groan from the pain that you felt when I was alone. Always for the oven with the burning heat. When she stood making sure I had something to eat. Yeah. I don't know if you're following this, but M is for, O is for, T is for. He's spelling mother.
Sure.
Okay. She stayed up nights and took my temperature when I wasn't feeling right. What's H? What's H? Anxious for the hard-earned money. Hard-earned money.
Hard-earned money. Clothes on my
back and tried to pay the rent. E is every wrinkle I put on a face. Every wrinkle. And every worry that I called when I stayed out late. Yeah. The last letter R is that she taught me respect. And for the room. Back. Up in heaven that I know she'll get. Mother, there is no other.
That's right, yeah.
Like mother.
Mother.
So treat her right. Mother.
Okay, I think you get the
no, I need more.
The idea.
My mother. So treat her right.
Treat her treat right. Her right. Treat her right. Treat your mother right. Sunshine Girls. Treat her right.
Treat her right. Yeah.
Treat her right. Oh, this song makes my foot move. I think that may be enough of a tribute to Mr. T.
You know, that was late in T's career, but still the voice was there, you know? He always had the voice.
That's a great song right there.
We should have Mr. T Aroki, where T comes in and sings some of our more popular songs, if you'll guess idea. What it is, because he's very tuneful.
Yes, he is.
He sure is. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Ralph reported the story a few days ago, and I still find it hard to believe because Keith Richards, who is the legendary guitarist of the Rolling Stones, he's been in that band since about, what, 1961, maybe he's been playing guitar for the Stones?
You're not exaggerating, right? That's
right, 1961, I think, is when the band started. He is a guy who is barely intelligible and seems like he's lucky to show up any place that he's supposed to be. He seems like his mind is blown by drugs.
He's a legendary drug user. Oh, I mean, he just...
Absolutely,
And
yeah.
for somebody Hardcore. Who's been doing it more than 40 years.
Yes.
That's crazy.
Isn't he the one that went to Switzerland or something and had all his blood cleaned?
That was a rumor. I think that was exaggerated, but he has had a lot of... He's been in rehab a million times. I mean, the guy is just a mess, and it's a miracle every day that he's alive. So the reason he's in the news and the reason this story is so shocking is there is talk that he will be paid millions of dollars to write his autobiography. Now, how is there anything that Keith Richards remembers that he can write about?
That's a great point. Well, we have him on the line.
Good.
He's the guy who snorted his dad, too, right?
Right.
That's the same guy, yeah. Keith?
Monday morning.
This is what I'm talking about. Who's going to be able to take down that if he starts dictating a book? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Hey, Keith, is it true that you are going to get paid $5 million to write your autobiography?
Can you believe it, man? I'm going to be $5 million. I didn't read the book and then write one.
Right. So, is this something you want to do?
We've got so many stories to tell, you know, the rock and roll, and being on the road, and section of the rock and roll, man, you know?
Give me an example of the type of story that you recall, say, from the early days of the Stones when you guys were first starting to become popular in the early 60s. What kind of crazy stuff did you kids do?
I was back in the 60s, and I was wild. You get the kids backstage and all get sex and drugs in a three-way with Barbara Bush and Rodney Bingenheimer.
I'm sorry. Did you say
I think I heard something I'd like to read about.
I heard something I wouldn't. Now, Keith, your lead singer, Mick Jagger, got a big advance to write a book. He said he couldn't remember enough to write one.
Yeah, it's gone. His memory's gone, man.
His memory's gone?
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't remember the thing, man. It's too many drugs for him, Mick, you know.
Right. But haven't you taken way more drugs than pretty much anyone on Earth?
The funny thing is, I took so many drugs and I forgot everything that ever happened to me, man. And then it came right in the background again. I forgot so much that I remember everything.
Well, that's... I've never heard of that before. That's...
Shoot heroin, man, with Montel Williams and Mr. Rogers. It's wild, man. It's unbelievable.
Keith, I know one of the stories that I hope you put in the book that I'd really love to know something about is how did you end up in a palm tree in Fiji a few months ago where you fell out and cracked your head open? How did they even get up in a palm tree at your age?
It was all in a drunken vet between me, Andy Dick, and Karl Rove.
Andy Dick and
can't
Carl
see you guys
Rove.
Hanging out together.
Yeah, it was wild. I'm getting into hookers and we killed two of them.
Okay. I'm understanding more than I'm comfortable with.
Yeah, now, no kidding. Man, we don't want to know.
Is there a timetable? You know, you have to finish it by such and such a date?
Yeah, they asked me to finish it by tomorrow.
By tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
It's wild, man. I can't believe it because I haven't even written one word.
Are you going to be including your time on the set of the Pirates of the Caribbean at World's End movie? Because a lot of people are looking forward to that.
It's incredible. It was unbelievable. Johnny Depp, I killed him and snorted him.
You didn't do that. He's still alive. He's doing press for the movie. It comes out this Friday. Johnny Depp's fine.
He got better.
After you snorted him?
Yeah. Well, I'll make it everything. I'm not going to remember anything. I just won the $5 million, man. You know?
I see. Because that'll buy some more drugs.
Oh, whatever.
Well, good luck with that.
It'll keep me in drugs for like a day.
You would ever know.
Go.
And
go.
Kevin and Bean speak now.
You.
Lisa. We only have 14 seconds.
No, but now look we at have Lisa's like 10.
Boots. But look at Lisa's boots.
Yeah, she is sporting some boots.
Couldn't really think
you
of
can
anything
look
else.
Later. Talk.
Okay. Here's that band.
Yes.
We hadn't even had that
good.
Much to drink yet.
That's some of the high-quality broadcasting that happened Saturday at the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta.
Kind of went downhill.
I tell
there.
You, man, this lacks the feel of professionalism.
Well, you're right about that. It's funny because there are actual talented people out there not working at this radio station who would love to be, and then they hear us go on and just waste the airwaves. It's got to be very frustrating. We apologize right now because we know you'd probably do a better job. All right, it's 6:22 Monday morning after the K-Rock Weenie Roasty Fiesta 2007. We'll be talking more about it later and taking your calls on what kind of fun you had that we didn't hear about. First, though, we have something very important that we have to get to. We may have to fire some people here today, Kevin.
What? I agree.
We may have to fire some people.
I agree. It's unacceptable behavior.
Wayne's got to hate.
There's nothing unacceptable around here.
How did this conversation come up in the office the other day?
I don't remember how it came up. Somehow we started talking about people who name their cars.
And what douche nozzles they are.
Right. That is unacceptable. I stand corrected.
Right? Yes. So then Dave speaks up, the King of Mexico, who answers the phones here at the radio station, and he says, I name my car. I name it.
What?
So my car has a name.
You won't drive it, but you'll name it?
Yeah. Hey, now.
Your car has a name as if you didn't give it to it?
Yeah, well, the name is On Blocks.
So I say he said that he named his car, and he said the car has a name, as if it wasn't him.
Yeah, okay. I just want to take responsibility.
What name did you give your car?
Well, look, I name my cars based on their color. I first had a red Nissan Sentra, so it was the Red Rocket. Then I had a white Mustang, so it was the White Pony. And now I have a black Sentra, and now it's My Little Negro.
I see. Okay.
Those are my car names.
It always has to do with the color
with
of the
color.
Outside
of
the car.
Exactly.
But why does it have to be a Red Rocket? Why can't just it be here's my Nissan or whatever kind of car it is? I mean, why
because
does it have to have
the power, dude? It's a rocket.
Yeah. Do you talk to it?
No.
Just carry on conversations
it's
with
basically,
your car?
I'd rather call it like, hey, that's My Little Negro, rather than I got to go get my car. You know, it's just rather than calling it a car.
My Red Rocket.
But, that's my Red
but
Rocket.
Why?
Do people
but
think you
not?
Actually have a rocket?
Is
that it?
Or a Negro. But why, Dave?
I've named two of my cars.
And this is Omar.
I've named my first car, Harvey the Honda.
Harvey?
Yeah.
So you give it a real person's name.
Yeah, absolutely.
Doesn't have anything to do with color.
No. It's Harvey the Honda.
All right, and hold on. Okay. We're going to take your calls, especially if you're a guy. We understand the girls name their cars.
Yeah, I did my first car.
I think it's kind of a chick thing.
Yeah.
But guys don't do it.
Not so much.
1-800-520-1067. If you're a guy, you name your car. All right.
Most guys do
what
it.
Was
the cool guys
one?
Do it.
Harvey the Honda.
Yeah, all my buddies would name their cars.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, I mean, the reason behind it for me was I've named two of my cars. I've owned a total of four was because once you experience certain things in a car, you know, you want to go, like, say if you're, you know, around a group of friends or whatever, you know, hey, you know, what do you want to take? I'm like, let's take Harvey. Or whatever. You grow a certain attachment to a car when you own it for over a certain amount of time.
Here's what normal people say.
Yeah.
I'll drive.
No, dude.
That's it.
No.
You don't need to refer to your car by a name.
Yeah, dude. Dude, last night I got laid in Harvey. We're going to take Harvey somewhere. Anyway, in the Honda in my Explorer. What's the deal with that nonsense?
You don't have to recognize
what type of
car.
We're going
to
go cruising Winona.
That was your other car name?
Yeah, my White Explorer.
Winona.
It had to be a huge car, right?
Why?
I just like, what am I going to name it? I finally got to that point where I was really attached to it, and I was like, what am I going to name it? The first name that popped into my head was Winona.
Could you be any gayer?
Now I have a Yaris, and I'm not that attached to it, so I haven't named it yet.
Oh, that's how you decide whether you're going to name it or not, is how much you like it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, if I experience have a lot of, you know, cool experiences, like, you know, if I have memorable times in the car.
But see, for most of us, the memorable times are enough. We say, hey, I had a great time. I remember the night I was out and this happened. You don't have to name a car to attach a memory to, do you?
Well, it helps.
That is so gay. Gay, 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 and it, gay.
It's so much cooler to have a name for your car.
Oh!
Only because, you know.
Oh, it's cool.
Yeah, like, right. Like Omar said, we could just be like, dude, let's go on the Red Rocket. Boom, we're gone.
Hey, you know? Let me ask you guys this. Do you name your houses? Because it seems like they'd be way more important. You'd be way more attached. You'd have way better times in your houses.
Mortgage payment is nothing but a bitch, man. So bad times, dude. So give them a, don't remind me of that.
Give it a bad name. Man. Hey, got laid last night in the old lady.
What the hell? Car payment's not a bitch. Car payments are okay. Mortgage payment's not so good.
Car payments are not bad.
All right, let's say good morning to Raul, who's calling from Northridge. Good morning, Raul.
What's going on?
So you name your car as well.
I do.
I knew that we had a large gay following on this show, and I'm happy about that. I have no problem with that.
Wait,
but
come
Raul,
I'm actually far from gay.
Well, you have not proven it by anything we know about you so far, if you name your freaking car.
I've been married for 12 years. I drive a 2006 Dodge Charger. Her name is Sally.
Does your wife know you're gay?
My wife has never said I'm gay.
Now, see, here's an interesting thing, because you went female. You know, Omar went with Harvey.
He's hot.
Yeah,
but then
gay.
Went on. Oh, I'm sorry. Harvey's
that's
gay.
Gay.
Hey! But you name your car Sally. How did you come up with Sally?
You know, the old song Mustang Sally.
Yeah?
Right.
She kind of came along with it. You know, she handles good.
Is it a Mustang?
What's that?
Is it a Mustang?
No, it's
then
not.
It shouldn't be named Sally. Hey, remember that song about another type of car? That's
right.
How I named it.
Good old Dodge Charger Sally, man. Nothing better than that. Raul, what about your friends? What do they think when you say, hey, let's go hop in Sally and take a ride? I mean, do you ever have to explain where you're coming from or what you're doing?
Actually, all my friends do it.
No.
Yeah. I'm telling you.
See?
Okay,
are we the
why
only
it...
two heterosexual guys in Southern California?
I never heard of a guy naming his car until the conversation came up here at K-Rock last week.
I'm actually part of a car club. There's about 1,200 of us. It's LX Forums.
See, now let me just say this. I kind of understand if you're that into cars. I guess I could see. I mean, I wouldn't, but I guess I could see it. But Dave, the King of Mexico, Omar, neither of them are really into cars much at all.
It's like naming your penis.
Wow.
Let's not get crazy, dude. It's not the same thing, okay?
I don't know what goes on in car clubs, dude, but that's not Sally.
Yeah, we're not doing that. That's just, wow.
See,
that's...
dude, the Red Rocket would smoke Sally. That's how it works.
Yeah, no, I don't think so.
Probably okay. Not, but it just
why don't you
cool
two people that name your cars not that start acting
exactly.
Tough and yelling at each other?
Rocket will go exactly.
All right, Raul, easy. You need your car.
Trash talking now. Sally's trash talking here.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take some more calls in a minute.
I know what you're asking yourself, and the answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon.
Exactly.
That sounds kind of gay to me. Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Homosexual.
Dear Kevin, I mean, this email from Allison begins. I had a car that I bought off some guy for $400. He named his car Muff Diver. And he even got a plate for the front that proclaimed to the world that I was driving the Muff Driver. Unfortunately, I am a woman and I am a heterosexual. Your biggest fan, Allison. See,
well, she
this
needs
is
to
the
change.
Danger.
She
this
needs
is
to go the other direction so it fits.
Exactly. This is the danger when you name your car. Look at what it can cause. Guys, what do you do it? But apparently there's a lot of people just like you, a lot of people on the lines right now, guys who name their cars. I don't get it, but they're out there.
Omar says all his friends name his cars, but he's got the guy liner and the, you know what I mean? He's got the fish, net on his arms, and that BS.
Had a weird set of friends in high school, that's for sure.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Let's talk to Tom in Hacienda Heights. He's another guy who's naming his car. He's just like Dave and Omar here. Hey, Tom, you're on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock. What up?
How's it going, guys?
That's going well. You name your car, huh?
Yeah. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning,
Tom.
Yeah,
don't talk to her like you're interested in women. All right, what's
the story?
What car do you have first?
I drove a 91 Explorer.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And his name was Dexter the Headhunter.
Is that
Dexter the Headhunter.
Reference?
Huh?
I said, is that a penis reference of some sort?
No, it was just... Yeah, he, I don't know, he had a
a will to kill. I don't know.
Did you run over people?
No, I didn't. It was just, we were sitting in the car one day with me and some friends, and we came up with that was the perfect name for that car.
It's top-notch gay.
Dexter the Headhunter. Wow. Yeah. But you got a lot of chicks in that car.
Look at the car, too. It was a 91 Explorer.
Right?
All it had was the name.
That's true. That's a good point. The name was the best thing about that car.
Didn't think about that. That's a good point.
All right. You're off the hook, Tom. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that.
All right. Let's go to Jeff in San Dimas. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, how's it going?
Well, it's going well. You name your car?
It is the Iron Lung.
Yeah. The Iron Lung. Yeah. Why did you name it that?
That was based sheer on the performance of the vehicle. It had about 400,000 miles on it. It was a 91 Honda Accord.
Okay.
All original miles. Thing had been in a couple of wrecks. Replaced the hood, and that ended up getting a lot of rust on it. I bought it originally for $800.
I thought I cared, but I don't.
See, the name made it tougher than it actually was.
See, the name didn't change it at all. That's the thing.
The thing was primer gray, had a black hood. And,
still don't care.
Right, but I think what Kevin is saying, and I agree, is if it was a crappy car without a name, it doesn't make it any less a crappy car because you call it the Iron Lung. It's still a crappy car.
Well, true. I bought it for sold it on eBay for $1,900.
It's okay to be gay.
Well, good deal. Thank you, Jeff. Hold on. Producer Lightning has stepped in, and he's very upset about the tone of this conversation.
I am incensed. This thing is so disrespectful to the car, its designers, its builders. It's insane. Okay. Now, oh, my God. I just like to point out that we're not coming from that point of view either. I don't care if it's disrespectful to the designer.
Wait. This is coming from a guy who takes a car and cuts every original part from it and designs it. Well, what are you talking about?
That's a good point, Omar.
No, it is what it is.
Just because you don't name it, that gives you the why are you going to come at us? We don't change it. We're just naming it, dude.
That's super gay and super disrespectful.
But Lightning, what about what Omar is saying? That you take the design and you screw with it. You totally lower it and put different rims
you
on
change
and change out
everything.
Everything about it. That's disrespectful more than naming it.
No, not at all. I enhance it. And moreover, those manufacturers offer parts for it. So if they wouldn't offer parts for it if they didn't think that they should go on the car.
Can I just clarify again?
I'm sure you're putting Honda parts on a Honda car, right? And you're not.
So? you get out. We don't need your kind.
That's gay. Disrespectful
to the
car manufacturers.
That's just ridiculous.
It's so gay.
It's just gay. It's not disrespectful to anybody except themselves.
I hate it when we are in agreement with Lightning, even if we're coming from completely different directions. The fact that he's on our side makes me a little bit nervous, but I still got to say, don't name your car if you're a guy. I got to stand by that.
I think that's a pretty good rule of thumb, don't you?
Name your cars, people. Name your cars. Don't be afraid.
Andy in West LA.
Power to the car, people.
Shut up.
You guys are killing me. Oh, my God.
Andy, we're killing you, Larry.
You name your cars?
I'm sorry?
You name your car.
I do. I had two. I had a 1965 Chevy pickup named Bertha, for obvious reasons, and a 2001
yeah,
Kia
obvious.
Rio called Edna.
A Kia Rio called Edna.
Yes, sir.
Because?
Old lady.
Well, no. Well, I'm a teacher, and I got a little more sensible in my older age, except I came stumbling out from a bar one time, and there's three letters in it, E-D-N, and a 4 right afterwards, and it looked like Edna, and it just kind of stuck.
You're talking about on the license plate, you mean?
Yeah,
you're looking at?
My vision was a little blurry,
Yeah.
Yes,
and you haven't grown up as much as you'd like to think you have, my friend.
Not at all.
Boy, that was really gay.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Edna, thank you, Andy.
At least my names have to do with the car color and has something to do with the car.
That doesn't make it any better.
No.
Yeah. How does that make it better?
It does.
Good point.
Yeah.
Good point. I hadn't thought of that. Let's go to John in Oxnard. John,
do we have to? Can't we just cut our losses?
We could keep going all day. There's people on hold for days about this. We're the only ones that don't name our freaking cars. John?
No, it's Bruce Wayne.
Oh, dear God. This guy's on your side, David Omar.
Hey, even
all right,
have
Bruce Wayne, let's see if we can guess what you name your car.
Batman.
You don't even call it the Batmobile?
No, it's Batman.
You call it Batman.
The Batman, yes, sir.
speechless.
Well, there's a car in Batman. It's known as the Batmobile.
No, it's the Batman.
It's the Batman. It's not, don't you get it? What's wrong with you, Kevin?
He's Bruce Wayne. His car is a Batman.
What in the hell is going on?
Bruce Wayne doesn't drive the Batman. He drives the Batmobile. That's what we're saying.
Not only that, is when my girlfriend gets in it, she's got to put on the Catwoman suit.
Who wants some man meat?
I do. I want some man meat.
That's John right there in Oxnard.
Yeah, his imaginary girlfriend. All right, Bruce Wayne, thanks for the call. Ralph's got the showbiz speak. Good morning, Ralph.
A lot of people went to see Shrek the Third this weekend at the movies. I've heard some people went to see it Ogre and Ogre Again.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I'm so good. It made $122 million at the box office this weekend.
That all?
Makes it the third highest opening for a movie of all time.
Wow.
Now, Spider-Man,
yes,
famous for costing so much.
Yes.
Well, it was this one. Do we know the cost of this one? Because it's really animation, right? I mean, it can't be that much.
Don't know. Just don't know.
Has to have made a bunch of money, I would guess.
Oh, yeah. I don't think it cost nearly as much as Spider-Man to make.
Do you think a lot of people went to see Shrek 3 because they knew Kirsten Dunst wasn't in it? Do you think that had something to do with it?
Yes. I think that had a large part to do with it, yes. They'd rather see a green ogre's face than Kirsten Dunst's face. That's what I'm assuming.
But he didn't pull his hair over his eyes, did he?
He did not.
He did not. Okay.
He did not become emo Shrek.
Okay, good.
No.
Just check it.
Did not happen. Spider-Man was number two at the box office. Made $28.5 million in its third weekend. It's already made enough money to put it at number 22 on the all-time money-making movie list. In 3 weeks, it's number 22.
Wow.
So, who knows what it'll make by the time it's done. 28 weeks later was number three at the box office, then Disturbia, Georgia Rule, Fracture, Delta Farce, The Invisible, Hot Fuzz, and Waitress, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Britney Spears is just a big, obnoxious whore.
This story just doesn't sound even possible.
Friday night, she was flying from Los Angeles to Miami on United Airlines. The plane was just about to take off, and then Britney demanded to be let off the plane because, according to passenger who was identified as Tony Sanchez, she just said, "I don't want to fly in this plane. It hasn't got leather seats."
She's in first class, right?
Yeah.
How bad could it be?
And it's not bad at all. She was battling with the crew. The captain finally let her off the plane, which hadn't left the jetway yet, and then he apologized to passengers for the delay but did not mention what the problem was. He should have said, "I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, but that whore Britney Spears wants to get off the plane, so we're going to be delayed another half hour. Thanks for your patience."
They should.
This is retarded.
They should have
kept her luggage.
They should have said, "No, we're leaving." That's what they would have said to me.
Yeah, they would.
It's true. They would have said, "Sit your ass down,
Shut
Blondie."
Shut up.
That's what they would have said.
We'll tie you to a seat. You want to shut up?
Exactly. However, you know, sometimes karma works. Sometimes bad people get bad things back at them because they deserve it.
Sometimes.
When Britney did land in Miami, she went on to Orlando, Florida, where she performed at the House of Blues on Saturday night, another in her ongoing series of comeback concerts. She was performing as the M&Ms at the House of Blues down there in Orlando.
Her secret concert.
Her secret concert that no one knows about.
Yeah.
Except that
this is her
knows
11
about.
Minutes that she lip syncs that's supposed to make us take her seriously as an artist.
It's 12 being...
Sorry.
She does
Sorry.
A 12-minute set where she does a medley of her greatest hits. People queued up for hours and spent as much as $337 a ticket to see the show. Britney took the stage, started singing and lip syncing to her backing tracks when the CD started to skip.
So that happened.
It skipped a total of five times, according to people
awesome.
Who attended the concert in Orlando.
That's the best.
Began skipping repeatedly, forcing her to turn her back to the crowd and try to pretend like she was still singing. Fans reportedly booed.
Yes.
Booed her down as she was caught lip-syncing during her supposed live performance.
There we go. All right. Good sound.
Now, some artists, I think a lot of artists, sing with a backing track that they sing along with.
Right. Sometimes it's background vocals or it's a certain type of music that can't be replicated live on stage because it's electronica or something like that.
And they just
that.
Turn on their mic. They sing with it.
Right.
Not her at all.
Not Ms. Spears.
Not
no,
the
she
least
chooses
fantastic.
To lip-sync. And so often she was caught lip-syncing the wrong words because the track had skipped to another section of the song. And sometimes
great.
It just started repeating itself, and she had to turn her back and just started shaking her ass, and fans started booing because they had spent a lot of money and waited a long time to see the M&Ms.
Would we be horrified to hear her natural, unvarnished singing voice?
She doesn't have one.
She's had a lot of hits. She had to sing those. She sounds like she has a fine
manufactured
voice.
In the studio.
Yeah, in the studio, they can do amazing things.
But she's toured a lot. I guess she always lip syncs.
Yes. Yeah.
She puts on one of those Janet Jackson mics and shakes her ass, and she could lip sync.
I mean, part of it is because they dance so much. It's got to be hard to sing and dance that hard.
So
but
sing
like
along.
Madonna learned to do it. She like got in great cardiovascular shape, so she could do it.
And I was going to say, Destiny's Child used to sing their ass off and dance like crazy. So I mean,
yeah, it can be done if you're willing to work.
If you have talent, it can be done.
That too.
Yeah. So
that's awesome.
It was a good weekend all over for Britney Spears fans.
Good news.
You want to buy some of Michael Jackson's stuff?
No.
Come on.
What all is right. it?
What stuff?
Let's buy it. Apparently, there is a guy who bought a storage vault filled with Michael Jackson memorabilia that he bought from one of Michael's former business partners. And he announced, out of respect to Michael, he wasn't going to sell off the sex toys, the skin whitening creams, or the paintings of naked boys that he found in the vault.
Oh no.
Out of respect for Michael, he announced he wasn't going to sell those items. What a respectful thing to say.
Well, I don't think he could. Isn't it illegal to sell the picture of the underage boys?
They're paintings, so I guess you can get away with it because it's art. It's not actual photographs of boys.
Huh.
Here's the thing. He announced that he wasn't going to sell off that stuff. Then Michael Jackson's people stepped in and threatened a temporary restraining order against Richard Altomare, who's the guy who has this stuff for sale. Then Altomare said, well, then screw you. I'm going to sell off everything that's in there.
Excellent.
Anyway, they went back and forth, and now there has been a settlement between Jackson and this dude who's got the stuff to sell off. And the deal is Jackson gets to go in to the auction before he starts to auction stuff up and remove 20 items. Can take no more than 20 items with him, but he's allowed to take those personal items and split with them, and then this guy can sell off the rest of them.
Wow.
So he's going to go in with a big trash bag and just pick up all his porn and his sex toys and his paintings.
You know, it's funny because I've never left stuff in a storage facility and forgotten about it or not paid the bill and had it auctioned off, but it seems to happen to celebrities all the time, and they've got people to look after things like that.
Yeah.
Apparently not.
People aren't that good at it, apparently.
Yeah.
But I think it's nice out of respect for the guy, you know.
That is good.
He wasn't going to sell off the sex aids and the skin whitening creams and the paintings of naked boys because he didn't want people to think that Michael was a creepy pedophile who bleaches his skin, which I think is nice of him.
It's a nice touch.
And more good news this weekend. Scott Stapp, former Creed frontman, was arrested at his home yesterday.
He's still alive?
Charged with assault related to domestic violence, authorities said.
Oh, no.
God, that was the greatest thing I've ever heard.
Happened in Boca Raton, Florida. Stapp was charged with one count of domestic assault with intent to commit a felony.
Oh, boy.
Wow.
And was held without bail, according to Palm Beach County jail officials, who would not identify the victim, but it is widely speculated that it is his wife, former Miss New York, Jacqueline Nishewat. So we'll have to wait and see. Why is funny, Psycho Mike? Because they're Miche what?
Yeah. Are they adding additional charges because he used to be in Creed?
Yes.
That isn't good for you.
It'll be hard to find a jury that won't convict him just
That
alone.
Just on the Creed defense.
And George Michael, huge pop star from the 80s and 90s, has announced he may be leaving England. He said, I've got to seriously think about whether or not my love for my country is keeping me somewhere which is not good for me, you know?
What does that mean?
He says the media there hounds him constantly about his various personal problems.
Well,
he might move to America where the press is so much kinder.
Yeah.
You know, he's so lucky to be there. They're so kind to him in terms of all of his drug use and stuff. He'd be in jail here.
They certainly are kind when he passes out at the steering wheel after getting all kinds of loaded.
He's a huge celebrity to be passing out behind the wheel.
Yeah. Especially in England. He's even bigger than he is here in the States. Recently, he cheesed off a bunch of people when he did a television interview while smoking a joint.
Was he also singing?
No, that's Boy George. Different George.
Oh, sorry.
This is George Michael of Wham.
I don't have any George Michael.
They talked to him about smoking pot while being interviewed, and he said, it would be a better world if everyone who had a dependence on alcohol changed their mind and had a dependence on weed. Nobody ever came home stoned and beat up their wife.
That's true.
It's true. But some people have eaten their wives. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. I don't even know why you're playing that.
Not George Michael?
No, that's not him at all.
Oh,
sorry.
Not even not even a tangent. Not even remotely connected. Today's celebrity birthday is Richard Hatch, who, of course, played Apollo in the original Battlestar Galactica, can currently be seen on the new Battlestar Galactica as Vice President Tom Zarek on that show. He's 62 years old today. He looks pretty good for 62, by the way. He's a good-looking fellow, that Richard Hatch.
Sure.
Lisa Edelstein, who plays Dr. Lisa Cuddy on House. She's 39 years old today. She's tasty. She's a
what morsel. A body.
And Mr. T, actor, singer, entrepreneur, philosopher.
Humanitarian.
Mr. T celebrates his 55th birthday. We had him in here in the studio not too long ago. One of the greatest days of my life.
We loved out with him.
He was the sweetest, nicest guy.
Funny. We were ready to vote for him for president, weren't we?
Anything he wants, I'll do it.
I pity the fool.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Now, if everyone is ready, let's meet our first contestant and play some bingo.
I'm sorry, we're not going to have time for National Bingo Night right now, but that is coming up later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. Also, funny man David Alan Greer will be here next hour. This past Saturday at the Verizon Wireless Amphitheater was the K-Rock Weenie Rose Fiesta 2007. Thanks again to everybody who came down. Had a great time. Couldn't have gone more smoothly. Kind of a bummer the Killers weren't able to make it, but I think having Incubus step in as a fill-in band, I think people were pretty satisfied with that.
That was pretty cool, right?
Mm-hmm.
I had Omar back at the station record off the air because I wanted to get some of the magic that was going on while we broadcast it out in the front booth.
Yeah.
And we were on the air from 2 to 4 on Saturday, and Nick showed up. Our window licker, our sight-holding right. window licker, who can no longer talk to us because he's got a TV show that he can't talk to us about.
Right.
So we said, hey, Nick, can we talk to you? And he said, yeah, it's Saturday. And we said, okay, I don't see the relevance, but come on up, have a seat, put on your headphones.
I still can't hear you. Wear it on your head. Wear it on your head.
Headphones on your head.
That's what the thing that wraps around the top of your head for?
Move this part up.
Oh. We had like a team of scientists trying to get a pair of headphones on him.
What the hell?
I was trying to wear them like behind his head, like behind, like on his neck, and then on the front of his forehead. We were like, put headphones on your head, you bonehead.
They're not really new technology. I mean, I think most people, even if they'd never seen headphones before, right. can pretty much figure out that the part that looks like it goes on your ears goes on your ears.
So Nick sits down and says to us, I can talk to you as long as you don't mention my MTV show. And we said, fantastic, have a seat.
So, Nick, you have an MTV show.
You're not allowed to talk about that. Had to start with that. What the hell? I mean, what do you think is going to happen? Bean is obsessed with food and boobs. Those are the two things that he's obsessed with. And
well, they're the two best things in the world.
But he doesn't get out much.
Right.
So when he eats food that he didn't prepare, he goes crazy.
The food was so good backstage. So good.
Okay, now no one says anything. Understand, no one has responded. Oh, really? What did you have?
Right.
Nothing.
That's some sort of a chicken and pasta thing with egg salad. And oh, man.
Yeah. Oh, my God, the food.
I was pretty happy with the food.
Oh, the food was good. Wow, guys, the food was good.
I live on Pop-Tarts and chocolate milk. Every once in a while, I get out and actually get something that's been cooked. It makes me feel good.
Okay, good. Bede was sitting in the one seat where there was sun, and he also doesn't get outside in the sun much.
No.
You know, there's one part of my skin that hasn't started to bubble yet. You know, there's the cream now. What the hell is it called? No.
No.
Sunscreen, sunblock, something like that.
What's semen?
You put it on.
Yeah, and then what happens?
And then you don't get bubbly skin, in the words of Jack Johnson.
You still get bubbly toes?
Look at those.
Now this is where Bean turns his focus outward and sees a woman with boobs.
Really some sets here today.
Here's what I like. That's the one seat that's in the sun and Bean's sitting in it.
Yep. Hey, what am I doing?
Everybody else in the shade.
Gets a better view.
Yeah, all day he would go, look at those.
I know. And there were those everywhere.
And we would say, you know, most of us who get out and get, you know, amongst people, we run across boobs occasionally.
We've seen them.
Well, you forget. You forget how good they are.
So
the Weenie Roast may be the best place on earth to see them, too, by the way.
I agree. It was fantastic. So we were supposed to introduce the plain white tees, mm-hmm. and I brought Dave the King of Mexico out as Bean, just because we thought it'd be funny. So I said, hey, everybody, welcome to the show. I'm Kevin. And then Dave takes the microphone and rocks it better than Bean ever could.
So many boobs here.
And that's not this tape.
So many boobs. And I'm not just talking about Super Steve.
See? Okay, so that's him going on. Now here's Dave introducing plain white tees.
Please welcome, to start it off, the plain white tees!
Dude, I think you're out of a job.
Yeah, he's good. Dave delivers, man.
I got an email from a guy saying, was that really Bean? Because he looked like he was a little more heavy and he was Mexican. And I wrote back, absolutely. He's porking up a bit. And I don't know if you watched the webcast, but Kevin Federlesi and Brittany hosted it.
It's Kevin Federlesi, as if you didn't already know. I'm here with my ex-wife and psycho bitch, Brittany Spizzears. Say what's up.
Hey, y'all.
Now, first off, you may be asking yourself, what are you two doing together, Kevin Federline and Britney Spears? I thought you were divorced. Truth be told, we signed this kid's contract long before we got divorced. When things were still peachy keen, we were living the dream. You know what I mean? We're going to try to put our problems behind us, at least for the time being, and make this work. You know what I'm saying? And hopefully, before the end of the night, she'll have too much Red Bull and vodka, and I'll knock her boots and maybe steal some money out of her wallet.
That's our Kevin.
So that's kind of how that went. It was a fantastic show. Bad Religion was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they sure were.
Social D was great. Linkin Park was great. There were so many bands. I heard a guy
that
wrote...
Brandon?
Brandon from Incubus came out. That
for the boys' choir. That Lisa had everything she ever dreamed about in one stage.
It was a beatboxing boys' choir, men's choir, and they were singing an Incubus song, and then Brandon comes walking out and sings. That was the surprise. Cool.
And by the way, the story was, and I think this is very cool, is that Brandon requested them because he saw them do it. I think they're called Ithaca Pella, I think is the name of the group. But he saw them doing their song Dig on YouTube and said, we got to work with these guys. These dudes are awesome. And sure enough, they ended up doing a set together. How cool is that?
Flew him down from Canada just for this.
That's so cool.
It was very cool. Was awesome. He came out. That was the surprise guest at the Weenie Roast. And I think everybody had a great time. There were no lines at the bathrooms. So I thought that was good.
And there was paper in the porta potties.
That's correct. Yes. So
that's the story we're going with, okay?
Yeah. We'll get to more of the highlights a little bit later on this morning on K-Rock.
You're telling me the actor that plays Nathan Petelli on Heroes lives in his car? Is that what you're telling me?
No,
now I'm very confused about this interview that we're doing. What happened to Adrian Pasdar?
He's not available right this second.
So perhaps later we'll be talking to him. All right, Heroes, of course, season finale tonight on NBC. Hopefully we'll get Adrian on here soon. David Alan Greer in the 8 o'clock hour. And, of course, keep listening for more tickets for you to win K-Rock Night at Magic Mountain. It's this Thursday. We're closing the park, except for you, the fine K-Rock listener, and we'll be giving away tickets all this week here on good old K-Rock.
All right, let's say good morning to Andy Bushnell. Good morning, Andy.
Good morning.
Andy's a Cal State Fullerton student and lives in his truck.
Sure.
Now, of course he does, right? For how long has this been going on, Andy?
It's been just about 2 years, so it's been a while.
Now,
2 years.
I'm reading the article on you, and it in the Orange County Register, and it sounds like you don't have to do this. You're just deciding to do it.
Yeah, it was just a choice that I made, just to literally learn something new, just to experience something different.
But isn't that the type of thing that most people say, I can do that for a weekend, and then I'll know that I can do it? I mean, once it gets to be a month, 6 months, a year, now closing in on 2 years, haven't you kind of proven your point that you can do it?
I did. The original thing was do it for 1 year and then travel the country for the summer, last summer, which I did.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I got back, I kept on saying, I'll get a place. But I got so busy with work and school and everything going on that I just never got a place.
Is some of it that you're super cheap and you realize how much money you're saving by not having to pay rent or a mortgage, and it's kind of hard for you to want to start shelling out that money if you don't have to?
It's not so much that, but I got to say it's not that bad.
You did rack up some pretty big bills when you were renting a place. Did you pay all that off now?
Just about. It's really close. It's really close.
Does everything you own, Andy, fit into your truck?
No. I have a storage unit, So that way, I've just got minimal equipment.
Dude, why don't you at least get a car? Or do you have a shell for the back of the truck?
He does.
I have a shell for the back of the truck.
You do? Oh, yeah. Okay.
It's really comfortable.
I would live in the storage facility before I'd sleep in the truck.
No, it's against the law, and it's against the policies.
He's checked. Andy's a communication major with emphasis in film. Does it have something to do with that? Are you writing a screenplay or basing some kind of a project on this?
No, although after I had probably about a year and a half's worth of experiences, I sort of thought, you know, I could turn everything that I've done into possibly a book.
Mm-hmm.
So what I'm hoping to do is, you know, pull from my blog, pull from my personal journals, and then see if I can write a nice book on my experience.
Sure.
Where do you park to sleep?
It actually depends on where I need to be the next day.
Because
sometimes it may be a school, sometimes it may be near something else.
I just wondered if that was a problem sometimes.
It
It can be a problem, especially being that it's against the law.
Right.
But
well, there's that.
one of the best areas would actually be industrial streets, because they're you know, often cars on the sides, so they can just park amongst them and not bother anybody. Yeah. Because in a residential street, if a family sees a guy getting out of a car, they might get the wrong impression. So
sure, yeah. So what about there have to be some safety and security issues? I mean, whether you're in the truck or not, knowing that all your stuff is there seems like it would make your vehicle a real target for people who wanted to steal from you.
Luckily, it doesn't look like someone would live in there. I'm very, very clean, very organized, and I don't have that much that I keep with me. I have my main backpack that I carry with me literally everywhere.
Yeah. Just
my important thing.
Let me see if I've got this right. So you're majoring in communications with an emphasis in film, and you didn't do this for either of those reasons. You just decided you were going to try it because you wanted to learn something?
Yeah. Yeah. That's pretty much it.
Learning is overrated at that point.
What does your family think of this?
Well, my mom definitely thought I was pretty nuts for a while, and as much as she can understand my point of view, she also sees it as it's her baby in the car.
Of course.
Sure.
So you go to like a gym to shower and stuff like that?
Yeah. I shower at the gym or the gym on campus. So I always have some place to shower.
I gotta tell you, I'm with Bean when I say, you know, a weekend, there's some good learning there. A week, maybe a month. But
maybe a month on the outside.
2 years, you're just a douche.
No.
Right. But he's going to get out of school with no debt. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it'll be pretty close. I actually just graduated yesterday. So.
Hey, no kidding.
Oh, congratulations. Cal State Fullerton must be so proud. They raised the guy who doesn't know how to live in an apartment. Hey, you know what's weird, Andy, is that sometimes you'll see these guys who they get a little bit crazy because they live out in the woods or something, or they go up to Alaska for the summer, and it's really hard for them to be indoctrinated back into society. Do you think it would be difficult for you to have to deal with a landlord or roommates or, you know, a phone and all those all those modern conveniences that the rest of us kind of take for granted?
I think it's going to take a little bit of getting used to again, but I don't think it should be so bad.
Yeah. I'm sure people ask you this all the time, so forgive me to make you repeat yourself, but when you meet, you got a girlfriend, or do you date or anything like that?
No. Yeah, it's
possible. You silly boy.
It actually has really not been much of a problem. My old apartment that I had was so far south of the rest of the things that I do that no one would ever come over to my place anyways.
But no one comes over to your truck, though, Andy. I mean, it's not like you can invite her back to the front seat. I mean, what do you do on a date?
Go to her place.
Yeah, you got a date.
Lisa, you meet a guy like Andy who seems like a, you know, bright, articulate guy. I've seen his picture in the paper. He's not a bad-looking dude. And you get to talk, and you're thinking maybe. And then he says, well, I live in my truck. Is that a deal-breaker for you?
That would be difficult. That would be really difficult.
I've never been terribly concerned with the whole dating aspect of everything.
Right.
But as far as all that goes, usually if someone can make it far enough in a conversation with me, seeing how my personality is, they'll probably understand.
I'd be afraid he'd be using me for my apartment.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
Maybe you have a bigger
all right.
car.
Andy, would you recommend this to any of our K-Rock listeners out there to follow in your footsteps and live in their truck for 2 years?
I don't necessarily recommend the 2 years part. It definitely is something else. But to do it for a month or a couple months, and I know quite a few people that either have or are.
No.
And a lot of people say it really changes your perspective a little bit.
Do you have homeless people all the time asking you if they can move in with you? Because you're in better shape than they are.
Only a few of my friends.
Does it change your perspective in that now you see that it was this dumb idea? Does that change your perspective?
Not really. I still enjoy the fact that I've done it, but I know that it's definitely time to move into an apartment at some point.
There you go. you're gonna miss that truck, man. You guys had some special memories together. Hey, did you ever name your truck?
No, I was never that attached to it.
This guy lived in his truck and didn't name it. Last hour, we took calls from people all hour that named their trucks or cars right. or whatever.
All right. Well, listen, Andy, you're an odd bird, but it doesn't sound like you're any worse for the wear and tear. I mean, it's an interesting story. Like you said, maybe you get a book out of it. If nothing else, you got a funny story to tell your kids down the road.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Your kids are going to respect you for that. Yeah, listen, I slept in a truck when I was in college. That's what I did.
Cal State Fullerton graduate now, Andy Bushnell, joining us on the Kevin DeBean Show. Good luck to you, Andy. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.
And stop it. Seriously, stop it. Seriously. Andy?
Yeah.
Stop it.
No bingo!
Veronica Wallace from Canoga Park and Nancy Claramani from Sherman Oaks just won tickets for K-Rock Night at Magic Mountain this Thursday. Closing down the park, K-Rock listeners only. Ralph is talking about one of the most bizarre, surreal hours of... Well, I can't even say hour. I already watched the first 20 minutes of it. But National Bingo Night on ABC Friday night. Did any of you guys see it or just me and Ralph?
I didn't.
No, we had the guy on Friday that's hosting it, Ed Sanders, and we said, why are you doing this? Don't try to fool us. We know it's bingo. Bingo's a game for super old people that goes really, really, really slowly.
No, after it's a smash hit, I'm going to come back and say, oi, told you, didn't I? It's going to be great.
Kevin, you're thinking of the wrong game. You're thinking of bingo if you think it's slow and for old people. Because
right,
listen, it's actually fast and fun.
A game that's fast, fun, and so easy to win. Coast to coast America, ABC's National Bingo Night begins now.
Now, I'll play as much of this tape as we have time for, but you get a sense for what they're doing is they're amping it up to take it away from just an old person with a cardboard card and a little magic marker. I mean, it's epileptic seizure TV. It is lights, and it is loud, and it is screaming audience members and screaming announcers. You'd think they were covering the last 2 minutes of the Super Bowl, Ralph, when you're watching this show, right?
I'm just shocked they were able to get a TV broadcast coast to coast.
Isn't that crazy?
What kind of technology do they have where it can be seen in New York and Los Angeles?
We really live
in an age of miracles.
they really are hyping everything they could possibly hype, aren't they?
Yeah.
And it's in color.
Yes.
It's in color. Exactly.
And with sound.
The official bingo balls are making their way into the bingo plex.
Okay. The official bingo balls are making their way into the bingoplex. This is like De La Hoya and Mayweather are coming down the aisles in Las Vegas getting ready to fight, okay? That's what they're making it sound like.
Do the different balls all have their own theme song?
No, like they don't.
It is the 2.5-story, 1-ton bingo sphere.
Now, they figure bingo's dull, but if we put the balls in a huge, huge hopper, then that'll look really cool on TV.
If we have a bingo sphere in a bingoplex, then we can have a bingo cast, and everyone will bingo watch.
Now, this is still the same game where you have a card, and you have B-I-N-G-O across the top, and then you have numbers.
A-17, and then you hit the button, right?
No, exactly. A! There's no A in bingo!
No, that's what I said. He's making fun of me. But that, and it's really slow, and it's really boring.
It was up until National Bingo
Sphere.
Night.
Not in the bingo sphere.
Inside are numbers 1 through 75. Every week, viewers get rich just by playing at home. NBN Commissioner Sunil Narkar has sanctioned tonight's game.
What? Okay, now.
The commissioner.
Who? The commissioner of what? NBR?
The National Bingo Night. He's the NBN commissioner. So what they've done is they've taken a guy who works for the TV show. He's not affiliated with bingo in any way that I can tell. And he's basically given it his blessing because he's being paid to be on the show in a referee outfit.
Yes.
So he's just a cast member.
Yes, that's all he is. But they call him the commissioner as if he has some sort of a power, like he can authorize the match, basically.
Well, he does. He legitimizes the bingos.
Sure.
It's a hell of a responsibility.
Could I hear your impression of the commissioner, please, Ralph?
No bingo! Play goes on!
What do you mean, no bingo? You mean when somebody says bingo?
It's a very convoluted game to play, but the person who's playing the game on the stage, the contestant, he's trying to achieve a certain goal with the bingo balls. Either he's trying to get all the numbers to add up to more than 500, or he has to guess whether they're going to be odd or even. They have like 9 different bingo games in the course of this hour.
I thought you just had to get like 5 in a row.
People in the audience, they've got bingo cards, and those old school sort of Sharpie stamp things that they're marking off their numbers on their bingo cards.
Okay.
And if they get bingo before the jackhole on stage tries to achieve his goals, then they win a $5,000 gift certificate to Kmart.
Yeah, it is a little bit interesting. And I think we are going to get to a description of at least poor Ed is going to try to explain the game if we have time.
Mark your cards and win big at home. Thousands and thousands of prizes will be won tonight. It's all on the line starting now. ABC's National Bingo Night begins right now. Your host, Ed Sanders.
Beautiful. Hello, America, and welcome to National Bingo Night.
Listen.
What are those people cheering about?
Shopping spree at Kmart.
Those people are cheering more than the crowd was at the Ducks game over the weekend. What are they so excited about?
Bingo.
By the way, the people playing at home, your douche nozzles if you're one of them, but they were mostly winning $5 Kmart gift certificates. But I swear to God, Kevin, one of the prizes that you could win from playing bingo is a date with Fabio. That was one of the things they were giving away.
Yes.
What is like a TV show from 1975 that they've unearthed and just started to air for some reason?
Do they let you choose, or just some random person has to go out with Fabio?
No, Fabio!
I mean, you have like three things. Do they have three things where you can choose if you win?
Kevin, stop asking us questions about this game.
I don't understand it either.
You can't explain
it. I watched it and I don't understand it.
Now, this show is all about luck. Multiple games of high stakes bingo are being played right here tonight. We play.
Oh, I forgot. They got the disco music throughout the entire show. I don't know why.
We play three games of bingo in each telecast. Now, before each game, I will tell you if it corresponds with the red cards, the white cards, or the blue cards that you have printed out. Be sure you're playing the right cards.
Okay. I never got the red cards. Hold on a second.
I never got that. I didn't understand the whole thing with the three cards that were going at the same time.
I think if you go to ABC, you have to print out.
ABC.com,
you have to print out your own cards, and I guess there's three games in there in different colors. But, wow, that's already too much work.
I think Ed is trying to explain how the game is played here.
If you haven't already done so, they're still trying to log on to ABC.com, get your game cards, and get in on the action. All you have to do is mark off the numbers that appear on the bingo balls that come out of that sphere. Now, if everyone is ready, let's meet our first contestant and play some bingo!
I got the sense, Ralph, maybe you did too, that this was like a 10-hour taping that they edited together, sort of, because it seemed to be like really jumpy and it didn't quite flow.
The whole production looked like it came from Lebanese television or something. They got it overseas and dubbed it into English. There was jump cuts where guys were wearing different shirts and stuff. It was like a real low budget. It was shot in low def. I don't even know how they make low def television, but it was sort of grainy and it was just very strange.
Here at National Bingo Night, we love giving away money at top speed.
How can they love giving away money at top speed? It's the first contestant of the first game of the first show, and he makes it sound like that's how we always do it.
And there's no faster way to win than when you're racing at the Bingo 500. Your job is to get your car to 500 miles.
Wait.
What?
Wait, miles? We're racing a car now?
Yes, now you're racing.
Or we're playing bingo?
What's the car? What's the miles?
It's a symbolic car.
I'm glad you asked, Kevin.
Here's how you do it. You'll play the game higher or lower. All you have to do, Joe, is tell me if the next ball played from that sphere is higher or lower than the previous ball.
Okay.
Every time you are correct, whatever number is on that ball, you will get the same number in miles. Now, if you can get your car to finish the 500-mile race, you leave her a big shot winner with $50,000 in your pocket.
Okay, I can't take any more of this. Let's talk to Melissa real quick, because she was in the audience for National Bingo Night.
If some of the audience gets bingo before he reaches 500 miles, then he doesn't get anything.
Melissa?
Hello.
What
are you doing?
What are you doing with your life that you were in the audience for the first bingo night?
My fiance gets these things from emails.
And you're not allowed to turn them down?
Well, it's for money. They pay you to be in the audience.
Not enough.
Whatever it was.
Well, we didn't know what it was for. It's top secret, and they say, like, oh, there's this really awesome thing, and we'll pay you money, and we'll give you free food, and you can win $5,000. So we're like, oh, okay, we'll go.
That's the way the NBN commissioner has it.
That's right.
Yeah, you don't know what it's for at all. All they say is the TV station that it's for.
Is it as confusing as it sounds?
Yes, it is as confusing, but eventually you give up caring and you just are in hell.
How long did it take to tape that show? How long were you there?
We were there until about 1:30 in the morning.
What time did you start?
How many hours?
We had to be there at about 6 o'clock.
6 to 1:30?
Are you kidding?
Yeah, it was horrible. And they actually felt a little bad about it. And so they gave us a little extra money, but believe me, it was not worth it.
Were you cheering like crazy? Because that audience was out of their minds.
Like the first, like maybe the first half of the first segment when we thought we could win money, we were cheering.
Right.
Because they made us and we're like, yay, money. And then after that, we're like, this is horrible. And all the bags on the right-hand side of the stage got to still play for money. But when we didn't, we were just, like, cussing out the people, and we were making fun of them.
Why didn't you leave?
They don't let you
in. You can't. You're locked in.
Yeah, they lock the doors. It's
what
a fire.
The hell?
They don't let you go.
What kind of torture is this?
That's awful.
National bingo torture.
Are they bringing people from Iraq here and putting them in the audience and making them do this as a way of torturing them to get information? Or what?
I only watched the first contestant. The guy from Riverside is the only guy I watched, and he lost. Did anyone end up winning any money?
Yeah, there was somebody that won money, but we hated them.
Okay.
We hate you so much.
The second game, the woman had to pick odd or even balls when they came down the chute, and then there was a 7-digit code number, and she had to match the numbers on the ball with the code numbers, and then if she completed the 7-digit code, then she won. But if they got bingo before she did, they didn't win. And like, they kept changing the game every 30 seconds.
Oh, did she have to go out with Fabio too?
It absolutely was. And although the game really, what it is you're watching someone pick lottery numbers. You know, they pick lottery numbers on Channel 5 for
with
like
a
4 minutes.
On them,
a little ball, air gun blows a ping pong ball out and it's got a number on it. That's what the whole thing is. You're watching for an hour.
It was astonishing that it was on a network in this century, though.
It's not a half hour. It's an hour.
It's an hour, yeah. It's an hour on Friday night.
That takes 5 hours to film.
Wow.
Exactly. Melissa, thanks for the call. I'm sorry you had to endure that. Believe me, it was no better for those of us at home.
It's time for the Showbiz Beat with Ralph.
No bingo!
Is that the commissioner?
Showbiz News!
Yes.
Yeah, he's the best.
Wow.
A Punjabi commissioner. They had a British guy hosting. I didn't know what the hell station. I felt like I'd tuned in some... like Sky TV from England or something. I was getting some sort of weird broadcast.
Maybe they really were just working on the idea that if we confuse everybody with a lot of lights and sounds and audience and excitement, they'll think they're watching a show.
Lipstick on a pig, my friends.
Audience, do we have any bingos? No bingo! Game is still on!
Game is still on! No bingo! ABC should just shut their doors. They should turn over the keys and say, you know what? We had a good run. We used to have a television network. We had a fun time. Thank you so much, America, for watching. Now we're going to hand over the station to someone else. Because we're out.
Got to be some younger people we can now give it to have them see what they can do with it.
We're ABC, we surrender is their new motto for the fall season, I think.
You know, Merv Griffin's production company, Ralph, has a crossword puzzle game show debuting this fall. I don't know. I'm sure ABC will try to get it because it's right up their alley, but they got a crossword puzzle show.
Great googly movie.
At least there's something you can kind of do to try and earn it, you know?
Right. And play along at home, at least.
So dumb.
All right, let's talk about motion pictures instead of television, shall we? Shrek the Third, number one at the box office in its debut weekend, $122 million. Not too shabby. Knocked Spider-Man out of the number one slot this week. Not only that, it's the largest opening ever for an animated film and the third biggest box office opening of all time for motion pictures.
My goodness.
So we're seeing a banner year for motion picture money so far between Spider-Man 3 and Shrek 3.
I thought people weren't going to the movies, Ralph.
That's what they were saying.
Well, they'll go to see it. If you build it, they will come.
Yep.
In other words. And then this weekend, we got Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes.
The end of the world.
Can't wait.
End of the planet. What the edge of the world. What the hell is it called?
I don't know.
At World's End.
Something with world.
Yeah. I'm going to see that tonight, by the way, so I'll know more about
fantastic.
It
good.
Later this week. I'll give you my review. Spider-Man 3 was number 2 at the box office this weekend with $28.5 million. 28 weeks later was number 3. Disturbia turned in a $4.4 million performance, good enough to make it number 4. Then Georgia Rule, Fracture, Delta Farce, The Invisible, Hot Fuzz, and Waitress rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. Roger Daltrey, lead singer for The Who, had a few choice words for Vice President Al Gore this weekend. He was giving an interview and was asked about Gore's upcoming Live Earth concerts.
Right.
And The Who, you know, legendary rockers, but also very outspoken, sort of anti-establishment. And he said, these concerts are meaningless.
Wow, nice.
Said the last thing this planet needs is another rock concert. Said the dangers of global warming are very real, but no one's going to pay attention because of a rock concert. He said we need to burn more fuel.
What?
He said the answer is to burn all the effing oil as quick as possible. Then politicians will have to find a solution quick. So he thinks we should just burn off all of our fossil fuels and then force them to find another fuel source for
us. I have to ask, what planet have they been on?
Yeah.
Sounds like it'll work.
So I'm not voting for Roger Daltrey for president.
Nope.
He is right in that twofold. I have a twofold response to Mr. Daltrey.
Oh,
one
good,
is,
good. Thanks. I'm glad we got twofold.
Who doesn't know about the global warming problem at this point? It's not like the concert really is needed to raise awareness. And two is, people who are even watching the show, it's not like it's going to change their minds if they're watching the show. They're watching it because they want to see U2 play or something. They don't, let's face it, you fast forward past the public service announcements to get to the next act, right? Yeah.
No global warming! Problem's still on! Britney Spears screwed up a plane full of people on Friday night. She was flying here from Los Angeles to Miami when she demanded that the United Airlines staff let her off the plane. So they had to delay the flight while she got off. But at least she had a good reason. According to passenger Tony Sanchez, she just said, "I don't want to fly in this plane. It hasn't got leather seats."
Oh, my God.
So the captain let her off. Plane hadn't left the jetway yet, and he had to apologize for passengers for the delay, but he never mentioned that the problem was actually Britney Spears being a nutloaf.
Did she get on last? I mean, did she just sit down and go, "Nope, can't do it," or was she sitting there for a while?
I have no idea. Just
crazy.
Got a wild hair up her butt. Got a wild hair extension up her butt and decided she had to walk off. But you know what goes around comes around, because when she got to Florida, she went to Orlando to perform at the House of Blues as the M&Ms. You know, it's the secret code for her ongoing comeback concert tour.
Which has been blown since before the first concert. Why doesn't she change
it? Well, she played as the M&Ms at the House of Blues Orlando. She played for about 15 minutes. People were spending up towards $350 a ticket to see the show. And they got their money's worth, because for the first time in the tour, two of her, she lip syncs at every episode. This is the first time that the backing CD started to skip repeatedly.
Yeah!
Exposing her for the fraud that she is. They said about five times the CD started to skip. She had to turn her back to the crowd. Sometimes she was caught lip-syncing to the wrong words because the CD had skipped to a different section of the song.
That's
It was
awesome.
An unmitigated disaster, and the fans there reportedly booed her
as well they should.
It got progressively worse and worse. So at least they've got some taste.
That's fantastic.
That's what happened to Milli Vanilli, except they claim to sing. At least Britney doesn't claim to sing, so we couldn't
singing!
Girl, you know it's true.
Wow.
No bingo! Play still on!
How come I can give you guys a 20-minute notice for a piece of audio and not have it ready? Bean out of the blue picks Milli Vanilli, and boom, it's there at your fingertips.
Because Mike had Milli Vanilli queued, but I wasn't going to play it because it seemed like a, right turn, left turn.
So it was just sheer coincidence.
So I said no, but he already had it queued up. And then Bean started talking about Milli Vanilli, so then I thought.
Sheer coincidence.
Yeah, sheer coincidence.
That's amazing.
Sheer coincidence.
Just luck. Just pure dumb luck.
He's going to kill me because I didn't play it right away.
Dumb luck.
About CD skipping and lip syncing.
Right.
So I go to the Milli Vanilli tape. I go, "Kevin," and I'm pointing to it, and he looks at me like,
and I
"What's
think,
the connection?" God, Mike, you idiot.
Well, it is a reach.
Thank you.
It is a reach.
He just wanted me to just hit the
button.
If
you had played it out of nowhere, I would have been furious.
Thank you.
But the fact that Bean would bring up Milli Vanilli and you happen to have it
right
queued
there
up is a freak act of nature.
That's the way we roll.
It's amazing.
Right?
I hate you all so much.
Ta-da! That's the best song ever.
It's just Monday.
Well, we're just getting started.
After a long weekend.
Just getting started.
Spent all day Saturday with you. Look, we don't have time. We don't have time for this tomfoolery. We've got David Alan Greer waiting in the wings.
Is he better than these
guys? He's got a lot to say, and he's very eager to get on the air.
Okay.
When you see Dave, say, "Thank God you're here." He really likes that. He finds that very funny when you say that. Very entertaining. Today's celebrity birthdays: Richard Hatch, who plays Tom Zarek, the vice president over there on Battlestar Galactica on Sci-Fi Channel. He is 62 years old today. Lisa Edelstein, Dr. Lisa Cuddy on House. She is 39. That show is just chock full of babes over there.
Yep.
Between Cameron and Cuddy and Wilson. Give me some of that Wilson.
Right.
Yeah. And Mr. T, actor extraordinaire, actor, personality, humanitarian,
rapper, legend,
rapper,
singer,
legend.
I got that ready.
He is 55 years old today.
My mother, so treat her right, treat her right.
be somebody.
You've got a lot of drumming there, not so much Mr. T, I noticed. Once again, you're back to form. I'm glad to know that was just a one-off, you guys having the right audio at the right time.
Cue it up to the chorus.
Hey, could you just cue it up to the drumming part?
No, I said so chorus.
We just have a lot of background singing and drumming.
I said cue it up to the chorus. That's what he gave me.
Thank God, that's over.
Yeah.
That's what he gave me.
This may be the last show we've reported. I may not be coming back. There's a good chance I'm walking out. I'm Ralph Garman, and I walk out the door.
If you're wondering who the guy is who's clapping along with the Cypress Hill, ladies and gentlemen,
yeah!
he is number 94 on Comedy Central's list of the 100 greatest stand-up comedians of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, David Alan Greer.
Thanks
here
so much.
In the studios at K-Rock.
94!
Who am I?
94!
That was a depressing day when I read
who's
that.
Who's he ahead of?
Exactly. Depressing, and there was a little tad of relief.
It's like six right. people.
Yeah, who am I ahead of?
I just brought up the list. I'm glad you asked. Here we go.
Goldthwait. No.
You're at 94. Your friend George Wallace, very funny at 93.
No. We want to know who's behind
who
you.
Did I beat?
Oh, who's on the other side? All right. Who are you funnier than is what you want
yes.
to know.
Yes, not many.
Dave, you are funnier than Andrew Dice Clay.
Whoa!
Wow. That's
a knock from the devil. Like,
he's 95. You are funnier than Joey Bishop at 96.
Really?
Who's Joey Bishop?
Joey Bishop is from
1960.
Yeah. Okay. Sandra Bernhardt at 97.
She's funny. She was
Louis C.K. at 98. He's
really?
Not funny. Not funny at all.
You don't think so?
Not even a little bit. Not even the tiniest
bit. Isn't he the one that had the
people
HBO
seem to
TV
enjoy
show?
Him. Yeah.
That was funny.
Janine Garofalo at 99.
I had the biggest crush on Janine Garofalo.
Back when she was funny?
Back in the Larry Sanders days?
Her and her 14 dogs. She had these dogs. We were on location in Canada.
And she brought 14 dogs?
Well, no. She brought four of them.
Right.
It's
like 14.
Two of them. Three of them. Whatever. I exaggerate. What a time we had.
Why did she get so bitter once she got into politics? Why couldn't she still be funny? Why did she just turn ugly when she got into politics?
I think it's because of who's in the White House.
I don't know. I can speak for Janine. She got a little infection, which turned ugly.
Really?
Well, that tends to sap the comedy out of you, wouldn't you say?
A comedy
say?
Infection?
I would, yeah.
Yes, a
yeah,
comedy infarction.
With yeast.
How do you do it?
An infunction. Wow. I was trying to invent a show out in the other room. I was thinking like improv and bingo. Improvingo. Tonight on Improvingo.
Did you hear the highlights of that show?
Are there highlights to bingo?
Wow.
47!
That's it. Isn't it unbelievable that that shows? I mean, yeah. It's amazing enough that your show is on TV, but there's a freaking bingo show on TV.
You know what? That does it, you know, because I come here for years. I came here for over 10 years, and I don't want to be abused. I'll go in my car. I don't need this. You
David
apologize
Allen.
Right now, not only for that, but for slavery.
That wasn't us, Dave. You know that.
Huh?
That wasn't us. We didn't ever own a slave.
It wasn't you.
Sorry.
Well, and it wasn't you.
It really
was my forefathers. It was my forefathers.
But it wasn't you.
Well, I have the residual pay of slavery.
The residual pay?
Really,
well, that's why I'm only 94.
Dave, let me ask you this. As a Yale graduate,
yes.
A Yale master's degree graduate, do you feel that slavery held you back?
Well, yes, of course it did. I mean, I grew up in a world that was dominated by male white men. You know that. In a racist, sexist society. It's gotten better, but I mean, that's just the way it is. You know, women still don't get paid as much as men.
I know.
He's,
new watch, study said it's actually getting
like,
worse.
You had to see it.
It's true, man. You know it's true. It's not always equal. It's not all equal. It's better, and hopefully it'll get better now than it was when I was a little kid.
I don't think it's anywhere near as true as it used to be, thank God.
As what?
As true as it used to be. I don't
know. Hopefully, but I mean, I think that the fallacy, I always like this, like on Oprah Winfrey or something. People, did you know there are white people that don't like everyone? Where do they live? You know, it's like, yeah, of course. You know, there is still racism, hatred, bigotry. It just doesn't go away. You have to teach your kids and all that stuff. Like I'm sure you teach your kids with the little pictures.
You know.
You like this one. Oh, this one's a troublemaker.
Is that your impression of me?
Oh, yeah. You see this one, I'm going to tell you what. You go for the eyes. You shoot them eyes. You say, I got a gun.
You know, got me down.
There. Yeah. And call your mama.
That is a kitty. Next time Kevin's on vacation, Dave's filling in.
like,
David Allegretti. Put guitar picks on your fingers because they rip skin.
Is at the Irvine Improv Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. He's doing like 27 shows this weekend.
And you know what? I got this thing after 20 years in the biz with the bunky humor. I figured I'm going to spread out this year. I'm selling these T-shirts, only one size, but for $47. Selling like hotcakes. I have a white T-shirt and a crayon. You know, just put whatever you want on it. It's okay. Like my own thing. And
very
I have a website.
Creative.
I have a website, too. I don't have anything on it, but I did buy the name. Just little steps. You know what I mean? It's like they're
very
baby
little
steps. Yeah. Well, yeah. Okay. Maybe next year we're going to branch out. You know, I was looking at those bobblehead dolls. I said, that's what I should do, bobblehead dolls. Hey, who's with me? Huh? Just one hand?
Well, someone's doing
come
it
on,
already.
Somebody else in the studio. Huh?
Somebody's
come on, Lisa.
Somebody's doing the bottle.
You over there.
Mike.
That's Mike. Yeah.
But you know what? They don't have comics, though. I did want action figure dolls, really. I want to have my audition suit.
I like it.
And my regular suit. You know. Again, it's probably going to cost a lot because I can't afford to, you know, make a million of them.
Right.
So it's going to be a lot. But I'm working on things.
Okay.
I'm doing different things.
He's got Thank God You're Here 2 Wednesdays at 8 on NBC. We're going to take a quick break and come right back with David Allen Greer. Tool on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ. Kevin DiMicho, 829.
Rock and speaking roll, of, baby!
Speaking of tools, David Allen Greer is here. He'll be appearing at the Irvine Improv Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Why not spend your Memorial Day weekend with our good friend David Allen Greer? You can call 949-854-5455. And also Wednesday nights at 8 on NBC over there on Thank God You're Here.
You know, they're rebroadcasting the 6 wonderful episodes for the 14th time. So please.
Oh, is that right? They're still.
I did notice that there were some repeats now.
Yes. Just now, Sandra is back again.
Yeah.
Like the fourth time.
So how many did you do? You only did 6?
6, yes. 6.
And they're going to get all summer out of it? What?
You have to ask NBC. It's NBC's a new plan. Hurting.
A new plan.
Well, it's a new plan. They're going to build an audience.
Dave, let me ask you this question, because you're one of the, in all seriousness aside, you're one of the smartest, funniest guys I've ever met in my life.
I'm sorry.
Why?
This is breaking.
You didn't hear that?
Why?
Hello? He didn't hear you.
Why is bingo on TV and whatever 10 ideas you have aren't? I mean, it seems to me like you'd be a guy they'd be begging to have star in a show.
I do. I'm actually creating a show for Comedy Central that I wrote. I handed in called The Chocolate News. I say
that.
Are you serious?
Yes,
I'm absolutely
that.
Serious.
I love
they're
that.
Waiting. They're talking. Everyone who I've shown it to just falls out laughing. The chocolate news.
Somebody's going to get afraid of that somewhere along the way.
No, but you got to read
gonna
it.
Go,
No. It's comedy. It's comedy. So hopefully that'll be on the air and you guys will.
But Kevin's right. There's going to be an executive somewhere up the chain who's going to go, we can't call it chocolate news.
Can we call it the beige news?
Yeah, that's exactly what they're going to
do. The 10 report.
Might
can
be
we
less
please?
Offensive. Someone yeah. will, not that anyone will be offended, but somebody will be afraid someone will be offended.
Let's call it the news. Anybody? Hands in the back.
News? Okay, good.
HR.
Now,
talk to HR about that.
Would you star in that? You'd be on camera or just behind the scenes on that?
On camera. Good.
And you sing it?
I actually wrote
sing
a theme
song. Sing the news? Oh, you wrote a theme song. Can we
this
hear the theme song
everything.
For the chocolate news? How does that go?
I can't. I really am. Smooth, dark, milky, sweet, melts in your mouth, the chocolate news.
I am so in. I am so in.
That sounds fantastic.
No, I'm really happy. I'm really proud of it. And I email my producing partners at least 17 times a day. Any news yet? Like a crackhead waiting for his deal.
I'm telling you, what's happened is we're getting passed around and they're arguing about whether they want to take a stand on this or not.
Hold on. Get back to Dave later. Did you talk to Denzel? Is now Wesley still in Africa? Would you please? Well, if he's in Africa, call Dave Chappelle. Is he
right? Would you take another job like Your Life with Bonnie job? Because that was such a great show. You weren't the lead guy on that show, but you were absolutely. A big supporting member. Would you do something like that again?
Well, you know me so well. I am known in the industry. I don't like to toot my own horn as a whore.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's
sure.
Yeah, I would. I would do a show that I thought was really good. I was reading in a newspaper waiting to come on. It was like I was reading these pilots and stuff, and I'm like, I'm not going in on this junk. And it was like the number one biggest top hit of the fall was the one show I refused to go in on.
Yeah.
Yeah, so sometimes my meter's a little off.
We don't have good taste for that
or
either.
Everyone else's is.
When they were just first announcing Dancing with the Stars, and they said it's you were on it?
No, they asked me to do
the first
season.
You turned him down?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
But we had the producers on, and we said, are you kidding me? You're going to put that on TV in America? It's going to fail massively. And then it shot right to the top.
Oh, yeah. Now, who won? I don't really watch it. What happened to the one leg?
I don't think
girl?
It's over yet.
She got thrown off.
Did she finally get
thrown
off?
One leg got thrown off, yeah.
Wow. She limped all the way to the cartage.
She did, yeah.
Look out! Dave,
she fell one.
No bingo! Play still on!
How about American Idol? Are you down with that?
No.
Hold that thought.
Really?
Hold that thought.
No real man watches American
Idol. We need to flesh that out a little bit because I
hate
that show.
Are you serious? Dave, you're Mr. Pop Culture. How could you, of all people, not be watching American Idol? You would love it.
Well, I'm going to the finals. I was invited.
You're going to the audience? You mean the audience tomorrow night?
Like the final thing. Well, it's on Wednesday.
Well, Tuesdays and Wednesdays. Tuesdays is
the
performance.
You don't watch.
Because I'll tell you why. I'm performing in Irvine Thursday through Sunday.
Yeah.
Trust me. That's a kind of a big half an hour off of going to the final.
Oh,
that's
a good idea. You're doing it to make fun of it. I don't believe you.
It's too big. They gave me some tickets. I have to go. I have to go and document it.
All right, David Allen Greer is here. We need to take another break.
There is a beatboxer in the finals.
You
will
love
it.
Wait, dude. How can you vote off America, a black woman, when a white boy is beatboxing Bon Jovi? What has happened?
Hold that thought. We need to take another quick break. We'll be right back. Don Ho from Westminster. Is the winner.
No kidding.
That's his name.
And Everaldo Vidrio from La Puente also got those tickets.
So. I just want to apologize to all my listeners. Somebody sabotaged my mic. I think it's Al Qaeda, but I straightened it out.
Steven,
I think we're fine. David Allen Greer, we can hear you fine. David Allen Greer is here at the Irvine Improv Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You can go see him in concert on stage doing the funny. But before that, I guess Wednesday night, you're going to be in the audience for the finale of the American Idol, Dave.
Yes. Somebody's holding up my sign.
This Wednesday's the final?
Yes. You're going to have a sign?
What is your sign going to say?
It's going to say, awesomeness! Come at me!
Because you don't know... Because you don't really know who's in the final.
No, who is in the final?
I am shocked that you do not watch this show.
All right, I'm going to say this. It's probably a black woman.
No.
Kind of heavy set and a little white boy.
It's funny you should say that. Jordan, I guess, is half black. She's kind of she's half black, half white.
Oh, I know who she is. She's cute.
Jordan is 17. She's from Phoenix. She's amazing. And she's up against a little white beatboxing kid from Seattle. And his name is Blake. You could be one of the Blaker girls if you played your card right.
Now, what is the last thing Blake sang with the beatbox? He is not letting it go, is he?
No.
No, he does want to work in every song.
And opera does not go together.
Come on. Why are you going, Dave, if you don't watch the show?
Because this is a cultural moment, okay? Mr. Killjoy Man on your island.
No, I love the show. I wish I could go, but I'm just saying, why are you going?
I have to go. I have to go. I have to observe mankind.
Here's what has to happen. When the cameras are on you, you need to be sobbing.
Well, like Hasselhoff was.
Giant crocodile tears. You just need huge...
I'll do better. I'm taking a big cheeseburger. So anyway, I love cheeseburgers.
They had Bill Maher in the front row a couple of weeks ago, and it was hilarious because he was there. I would not expect to find him at an American
Idol
show.
Well, you know why he was there?
Because he brought 20-year-olds with him.
Exactly.
He had playmates with him, exactly.
Yeah, he was in his big house, in his skivvies going, well, I can make a call.
That's exactly right.
If you want to go, I can make a call.
Please, you have to, please.
Now, you talked about going to Simon Cowell's home.
Yes.
What was that like?
All right. First of all, he's like, I'm just here renting. That's their building.
Because he lives most of the time in Britain.
Yeah, but he said they were building a house or something, and it was like Dynasty. Now, I say Dynasty for specifically that was the opulence, like 80s big waterfalls and the big, huge Rolls Royce. You know that huge one where you always look like an old Jewish man driving it? You know, it looked like a big tank. And that was in there in like a Ferrari, and I came in there with my SUV. Beep, beep, beep. And people running, you know, minions running in and out. And
yeah, I sense he has a lot of staff. He seems like the kind of guy who would have somebody who would dress him in the morning.
We had tea. We had tea. Yeah, we had tea and discussed some new project.
Yeah.
That he wanted me to do. And I was so desperate.
Was it America's, what is it, America's Got Talent? Is that the name of it?
Well, they're all along those lines.
Okay.
Hey, America, look at you.
Okay.
Right.
Bingo, America. What's up? America goes to sleep. This is where we go and see who can go to sleep the fastest, you know.
And he was unable to convince you to do it?
I'll do anything. I mean, he's like, I have an idea. Okay, I'll do it. This is my stupidest question. The stupidest question I was like trying to get in the mix, you know, and he's like, do you have any questions? I was like, Simon, what else do you do? I mean, other than the American Idol thing. I mean, have you produced any other shows? And then I got home and I Googled it. You never Google after a meeting.
No, that's like, right. Oh. Yeah, of course.
He had like produced 800 things.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
His deal on Idol is.
Yeah, and he's and there's sick. Idols in every country now yeah. as well that I'm
he
sure
gets
he gets
a piece
paid
of those.
Yeah.
And they're producing. They're producing all the yeah. records.
Right, he gets the CD deal.
Let's remember, American Idol is just one of the ripoffs of his successful British Idol show. Yes. You know, I mean, we're not even the first, for God's sake.
But the guy who created it was Simon somebody
Fuller.
Else.
Fuller.
Simon Fuller.
Fuller, right.
That's the main dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Fremantle, who produces Idol, are also the ones that produce my show.
Thank God
you're here. And again, I was like, thank God you're here, Idol. It's going to be awesome. Thank God you're here with America's Talent and an Idol. Yes! Idol people doing improv. It'll be like, great.
I have to ask this question because we're almost out of time. But wow. Since you brought up, Kevin, you're suggesting that Dave just be cried his eyes out
yeah,
when they go to over the
I
audience.
Will.
Last year in the finals, when Carrie Underwood won, I believe, is when David Hasselhoff was in the audience. And he was crying his eyes out.
He was literally crying.
Why have you not been involved in any kind of drunken scandal where you're laying with your shirt off in a hotel room eating a cheeseburger? Why hasn't that happened to you, Dave? I expected that from you before Hasselhoff.
Tell me you're going to stop.
Can I tell you honestly?
I'm going to stop.
Comment?
No.
Yes?
Huh? I'll be fine.
You know what? I started watching it on my computer. At first, I was like, this is so sad. But yeah. then his daughter, I was on his side by the end of the tape. I was like, shut up! Let the man drink! This your 16-year-old daughter's yeah. like, turn the camera off!
Come on. That's God. Not what you want
to
see.
To answer your question, I have no idea, really. I don't know.
Just no videos around when you're that sauce?
Nah,
is that what's going on?
I don't hang out like I used to. I told you I retired after a little incident.
You cleaned up a little bit?
In New York. On a press line several years ago.
Was that when you came in the next day with wine stains on your green suit?
Well, I think a little more than wine stains. A
little more than that. Okay.
One sock.
Excellent.
Party favors in my pocket.
God bless him. That was,
and I had an ashtray. I had an ashtray in my pocket when I got off.
Cool, it says Puffy on it. Awesome!
That was the year you brought a hooker to some sort of black tie event, if I recall correctly.
Yeah. And she snuck in all the after parties. I was like, didn't I just kicked you out
That's
the
right.
limo? I know people.
Her.
Yep. I know people. I told you, I know them. I know everybody.
Her out.
Yep. I was like, oh, no, this is not going to get it. This is not going to get it.
Did you think that America was unfair making fun of Hasselhoff the way we did, or do you think he had it coming?
No, because it gets stranger. From what I understand of the story, he told his daughter to take a tape of him the next time he got drunk. He's been in rehab
right.
like 800 billion times.
That's what he says.
She told
Do you
him,
believe it?
To me, that's sicker than her just doing that. I mean, that is the sickest of all. He's been in rehab like 800 times. He said, listen, take a film of me when I'm drunk and put it online. I deserve that. And she's like, all right.
Tell me you're going to stop.
I'm going to stop.
Promise?
No.
Yes?
I'll be fine.
Yeah. So that's, don't you think that's weirder than anything?
Yeah. But I thought it was weird enough I didn't believe it, I think. I mean, it seems like it's just made up.
I just, you know
Who
what
would
I feel
say that?
Like? I don't
Someone's
know.
Someone's so sad and desperate for publicity?
No, I think it's one of those things you say just to get out of it. Do you promise to no? All right, hey, look, man, you know what? Next time I screw up, take a picture of me, okay? Put it on the billboard. Okay.
That could be.
Because that's not going to happen. And then
it happens.
Why is there a billboard of you?
And you know right what Hasselhoff camera. Is doing now. You know what his job is now, right? He's a judge on America's Got Talent. He's
well,
got the job that you could have had.
Is that show still?
Yes.
Yeah,
it's coming back.
Up again.
Coming back this week or next week, yeah.
That show is bad news. Brandy got busted for.
Yeah. I know.
And
she
I
killed
think
all those people, yeah.
Yeah, but that's a bogus lawsuit. $50 million.
Yeah.
She was speeding a little bit. The woman was stopped. She was not impaired. She was. And, you know, and it was like, Brandy? Oh, no, I'm going to sue her. $50 million.
No,
then I'm going to
right.
buy my citizenships. Two of them.
for me and my family, my uncles, my brothers.
I have a feeling that's going to be part of the act at the Irvine Improv. Ladies and gentlemen, go see David Alan Greer Thursday night. Two shows Friday, two shows Saturday, Sunday night as well. Tickets are just $22 to $25. You can't beat it. 949-854-5455 at the Irvine Improv. Dag, always great to see you, my friend.
Always good to see you, baby.
Thanks for coming.
Freaking love Linkin Park. Closing, they were so cool. You guys rock.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's a great show. It's 9 o'clock here at QFM, passing Los Angeles. World famous K-Rock. Ralph is here with the showbiz beat. And then the next president of the United States, Adrian Pasdar, as Nathan Petrelli on TV's Heroes. Ralph, I think I'm going to actually step out of the room and give you my time with Mr. Pasdar.
That'd be great.
Because I know how much you love Heroes. I know how much you love him. I know how many things you have to say. I think I'm actually going to give you my time and not say anything.
Wow.
Fantastic. If you want it. I don't know if you want it.
Wow.
Yes.
Being not say anything, I will put money down. This
He'd have to leave the room. He would have to go away.
He would have to, yeah.
He'd be like...
I know.
I know the listeners have been demanding for years that I step back, but today's the day I think I'm going to do it. Because
step down, I think. I think you misread that. Step down.
He's your hero. He's your man.
He's one of my heroes.
But you go to freaking voteforpetrelli.com. That's how much you love him.
He's effing shaky, though. I'm just worried he's going to turn to the dark side.
You're already a villain! You're a villain!
That's what Hero was saying to him the other day.
So on the Kevin and Ralph show, it's actor Adrian Pasdar coming up next on K-Rock. Don't let Kevin get started on his wife either, because then it'll turn ugly.
Yeah, I know.
Right now, time for the showbiz beat. What do you got?
Good times for Shrek the Third. Third time was a charm for the ogre. $122 million it made this weekend.
Wow.
Makes it the third highest grossing opening for a motion picture of all time.
Didn't you guys have a bet last week?
That's not bad. Yeah, but none of us were even in the
not way even close, off ballpark, right?
Yeah. Thing was, it had been what they call in the business tracking rather poorly. That's where they have the advanced screenings and they hand out cards to audience members and say, hey, what'd you think of this movie? It had been, the cards been coming back going, eh. So I thought maybe it wouldn't get
we're
that reaction.
But 50, 60 million, $70
million. Somewhere in there.
122. You know, I know this film was review proof, but, 9 out of 10 reviews said it was substandard compared to the other two, but it didn't seem to hurt at the box office.
No, it did not. Didn't hurt Spider-Man 3 either. Spidey was number 2 at the box office, making another $30 million this weekend. 28 Weeks came in at number 3, then Disturbia, Georgia Rule, Fracture, Delta Farce, The Invisible, Hot Fuzz, and Waitress, rounding out your top 10 at the box office this weekend. If you'd like to own some of Michael Jackson's personal belongings, what's wrong with you? But secondly, they will be going up for auction at the end of this month. A gentleman named Richard Altemeyer, he purchased the Michael Jackson collection of oddities from a former Michael Jackson business partner who had stored the stuff in a vault, a storage vault.
A former business partner that's weird.
Once he took ownership of the belongings, Richard Altemeyer said that he was not going to auction off some of the more bizarre items, the sex toys, the skin bleaching creams, the paintings of nude young boys.
Oh.
And then the Jackson family said, we're going to get a temporary restraining order, so you can't sell any of it. And he said, okay, fine. Now I'm going to sell all the sex toys and the nude paintings. So anyway, they had a long conversation. They've come to an agreement. Richard will get to sell off the items, as they are his to do with as he likes, but Michael Jackson gets to get to them first and take 20 items of his choosing off the auction block. So, 20.
That's bizarre.
Yeah.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that. I don't think that way.
It's that Swedish penis pump is coming off. That's what I'm guessing. And Britney Spears horked an entire plane load of people as she was flying from Los Angeles to Miami on Friday night. She demanded to be let off the plane just minutes before takeoff. Because, according to a passenger identified as Tony Sanchez, she just said, I don't want to fly in this plane. It's got leather seats. It hasn't got leather seats.
No leather seats.
That was her reason for getting off. So they had to delay takeoff. The captain let her off the plane, which hadn't yet left the jetway, luckily. And then apologized to the passengers for the delay without mentioning that the problem was that Britney Spears is a spoiled bitch.
Why is everyone here so stupid?
Then Britney went to Florida, did a show at the House of Blues Orlando, and proceeded to embarrass herself as the CD she was lip-syncing to malfunctioned about 5 times in the course of a 15-minute set.
Sweet!
She had to turn her back to the audience, pick up in the middle of songs. It was a nightmare.
That's awesome.
According to TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news website, fans booed, understandably, who had just paid over $300 per ticket and stood in line, rather, for hours. So, you can see why they'd be a little cheesed off.
Guess who's on hold on the phone right now, Ralph?
Nathan Petrelli?
Yes. Oh, actor Adrian Pesder. I know you're excited.
All right, I'm going to move this along.
You're going to vote for him? You're actually going to write him in for the 2008 presidential
election? Oh, absolutely. Because now that Linderman's dead, I think we don't have anything to worry about.
I hope you're right.
Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie are denying that they had a three-way with that Victoria's Secret model, Karolina Krejcikova, that I mentioned
last week. Oh, I want that to be true.
I want it to be true, too. Here's the story. Karolina was overheard talking about the threesome.
Oh.
Bragging about it.
Really?
Then when asked, she said, oh, no, I've never even met them.
What?
So okay. She's either lying then or she's lying now. But Brad and Angelina have been asked about it. According to their reps, they claim they never spent any time.
I like to think she's lying now.
I think so, too.
Yeah. Yeah, we want that to be true.
Absolutely. Especially the part about Brad.
Yeah!
See Troy? Oh, you look good in Troy.
So muscled up. Oh, squirt.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Richard Hatch. He was the actor who originated the role of Apollo on Battlestar Galactica. Now he's on the new version, playing Tom Zarek, who is the vice president of the colonies, 62 years old today. Lisa Edelstein from House. Dr. Lisa Cuddy, she's 39 years old today. And Mr. T is 55 years old today. B.A. Baracus.
Yes, he is.
I pity the fool. Don't wish me happy birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I don't know how he picks his stories.
Whales and stamps. That's what we got from Doc today.
9 minutes after nine, it's the Kevin and Bean Show, and we welcome to the show Adrian Pasdar. Good morning, Adrian.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. Thanks for holding on for us. We appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem.
Heroes. Very exciting night tonight, the season finale, Adrian.
Yeah, you know, that's kind of frustrating to tell you. You got to go out and promote the show, and you can't say anything about it.
I can imagine. Well, Heroes, that kind of show. It's one of the shows where there's so many twists and turns each and every week that it's got to be hard to talk about because you can't really talk about the plot because it gives too much away, right?
Yeah, I mean, I'm contractually bound. On the front of every script, there's a little slug that says we're only as strong as the secrets we keep. That reminds us every week that if we want to have a job next week, we don't talk about it.
Now, so the season finale is tonight. Is it, can you at least tell us if it will satisfy a lot of our questions, or does it just open up a bunch more?
Raised, every question that was raised in the first season gets answered succinctly tonight. And not only that, but the last 3 minutes of tonight's episode are the first 3 minutes of the season opener for season two. So it not only does it answer all the questions that have been raised, it opens the door for the second season at the very end of it.
Well, you know, Adrian, one thing that the show has done all season long, which has never ceases to impress me, is how well you move the storyline along, given the number of characters you're working with and the type of show that it is. Is that a concerted effort by the writers there in the show to make sure that you're still bringing new information every episode?
Absolutely. I mean, I think these guys are writing like their life depended on it, and I hope they can keep it up.
Yeah, no kidding.
In every episode that we get, it's as exciting to read the scripts as it is to watch the shows. I mean, they're real page-turners, you know. It's like you just can't wait to get through it. But the introduction of new characters is something that they're going to get used to because I think with Origins, the show that they want to spin off of it next year, it's going to be, you know, they're going to have six new characters that are going to be voted on at the end who gets to join the regular cast. So it's going to be like a kind of weird combination of, you know, original programming, reality TV, and voting.
They all live in a house together? And I'm confused.
I don't know what the concept is. I just know that there are going to be six new episodes with six new characters, and at the end, one of them will join our cast.
As an actor, do you flip to the end of the script each week to make sure you're not killed off? Because you lose characters on a regular basis over there.
No, I know. I thought I was signing on to be on Heroes. It turns out I'm on Survivor. we don't flip ahead. I mean, you get a pretty good idea that you're going to be all right. And by the time you get the script, you would know if you're going to be dead or not. They're kind enough over there to give you a little heads up.
Tiny heads up. We have a clip of you. I guess Mr. Linderman's talking to you, Nathan Petrelli, about what's going to happen in New York City.
Be ready, Nathan. Today you will become a congressman. In time, you will lead the country.
As long as I let this city become a nuclear wasteland.
And let my brother explode.
Yeah, you can't stop that. No one can. But it's what comes next. I mean, that is entirely up to us.
Yes.
But now that Linderman's had a head full of fist, I guess I guess your future's your own now, isn't it?
Yeah, tonight, man, I wish I could say what happened to
you.
Oh,
I know.
A mind-blowing finale, and I just I'm so impressed with it, the way they put it together. I just saw it the other day for the first time.
It's so funny that they send you out to promote something, but you can't say anything.
I know. It's funny. Last year, we were talking to anybody who'd listen and, you know, trying to promote the show. And this year, everybody wants to talk to us, and they've told us not to say anything.
Well, can you just affirm for me that now that your smoking hot wife, Rena Sofer, has full use of her legs again, that you'll take full advantage of that in tonight's episode?
Yeah,
we want to hear absolutely.
Yeah,
yeah. Yes. All right. How long is the break going to be from tonight until you come back?
We come back filming June 28th. When they're going to put the show on the air again really depends on the writer's strike, I think.
Oh, that's right. That's looming, isn't it?
Another writer's strike.
You know, the unions are trying to, I mean, the corporations are trying to break the unions. And, yeah. You know, it's amazing across America. But, I mean, I SAG is the third largest union in America.
Wow. Yeah.
Behind the UAW and AFL-CIO. I mean, it's like the huge union. So they have some major issues to resolve. Anyway, I don't know when we're going to be back on the air. It depends on that.
Even without that, a lot of shows are, you know, like 24, for example, waited until the January to come back this past year.
Well, they're not going to take a break next year, I'll tell you that. They're going to run right through. They're going to run. There's going to be no hiatus next year. They're going to do 30 episodes, and they're not going to take 7 weeks off like they did this year.
Fantastic. Wow. Wow, that's a heavy workload for you guys. It must be 14, 18-hour days over there on Heroes for you guys.
Yeah, 15-hour days generally. I mean, from the time you wake up, the time you go to bed, it's 17 hours. I mean, it's hard to do. It's a lot of work, but it's rewarding at the end.
I'm curious, you know, you're sort of a serious actor. You know, you've done a lot of good work. When you first got the script for Heroes and you heard the premise that regular people start to acquire these sort of superpowers, were you at all dubious about taking the job, thinking it might be not treated with the seriousness that the show is?
No, man. When I got the script and heard about it, it was just a chance to fly. I mean, a chance to, you know, to do stuff that, you know, I always dreamed about doing as a kid. You know, I was in, man. I was on board. I signed up. Where do I show up to work? That's all I wanted to know.
We're talking to Adrian Pazdar, who's of course Nathan Petrelli on Heroes. Season finale is tonight at 9:00. If there is a massive writer's strike, will you go on National Bingo Night? Instead.
Hadn't thought about it.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah. Right.
Excellent. Last question before I let you go, Adrian. I'm from Philadelphia. I know you were raised in the Philly area.
Yeah.
Eagles fan?
Absolutely.
Oh, God bless you.
Oh, you know, unfortunately, my heart has been stomped on by more Eagles cleats than I can care to admit.
Tell me about it.
The last 20 years, but yeah.
I hear you, brother.
Adrian, are you like Ralph where Sunday, it depends on a Sunday's game, what he's going to be like on Monday. He comes into work on Monday, we're like, please let the Eagles win. Please let the Eagles win. Please let the
Affects
Eagles
my mood for the whole
absolutely.
Week.
I've got, there's a really good contingent of Eagles fans out here in Los Angeles. Everywhere I go, there's a hardcore, diehard Eagles fans. And they're all kind of like, they look at you with that apologetic look, and I'm sorry, I'm just an Eagles fan.
What can I do?
So, yeah, Monday is definitely decided by Sunday's outcome.
All right.
Yeah. I would say it's a birth defect. If you're born in that part of the world, you can't help yourself.
You can't help it.
You're That's screwed. Right. All right. Well, Heroes season finale tonight, 9:00 NBC. We're very excited about it. It's been a fantastic season, Adrian, and we're looking forward to next year.
Hey, thanks for the support, guys. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Adrian.
Bye now.
Right now, though, same phone number gets you on the air for Kevin and Bean's What Is Your Deal? And we got a new prize because it's Monday, you guys. How about a $50 gift certificate from Journeys in the Westminster Mall on South Coast Plaza? That's the place that sells the Docs and the Creepers and all those other rad shoes. You get 50 bucks. Yeah. Your choice. Stuff.
Hey, hipster, we're calling it What A what? Do Nephew now.
What did I say?
What is your deal?
What is your deal?
Yeah, that's a bit of a flashback.
Change the name.
Sorry.
Change the name.
You didn't ask Adrian Pastor about toast. That's what I would have asked him about if I'd have been on the interview.
Just Heroes and Eagles, man. Just important stuff.
Right. Why don't we talk to Jesus in Santa Cruz? We're taking calls on any topic, but if you were at the K-Rock When You Roast DVS in 2007, we'd love to hear what you thought about that. I hope you had a good time. Jesus, you're on the air. Go ahead.
What it do, Kevin and Bean? What it do, Lisa?
Hey, Jesus.
What it do, nephew?
It was awesome. I had a great time. I drove down from Santa Cruz for 150 miles.
Wow.
I really wanted to see the Killers, but they were not there. But the solo from Incubus was awesome. Korn and the Linkin Park Road. You guys are so awesome.
Yeah, well, it was a pretty good show, wasn't it? I think a lot of us were disappointed the Killers couldn't make it. The lead singer
certainly
was sick, couldn't sing. But Incubus was pretty strong of them to step up and fill the void. I thought they did a great job.
I'm
sorry to interrupt. I appreciate the kind words, but I think we're all on the edge of our seats going, waiting for the but. I had a great time. You guys are awesome. But there must be some sort of tragedy. You got knifed in the parking lot or something happened. Or was it just an all-around good day for you?
But the Killers weren't there. That was a tragedy for me.
Yeah. That was a tragedy. That was sad. Yeah.
And I saw a couple of people pass out and took pictures, so that was awesome.
That made up
for it. That's in the collection.
Exactly. Yeah. All right, man. Thanks for the call. Go Banana Slugs. Speaking of Incubus, let's talk to Matt in Brea, also calling about the Incubus performance. And they were the, as Ralph mentioned, they were the fill-in. That was the act we called when we had a spot open, and they were kind enough, being local boys and always supporters of K-Rock, to come on down. Hey, Matt, what'd it do, nephew?
What it do, nephews? What up, Lisa?
Hey, Matt.
So I don't know if you guys heard it, if you're backstage or whatever, but you know how Incubus opened up with they opened up with the stage turning and a bunch of guys in like these tuxedos singing a cappella.
Yep.
And this is right after, I think it was Nicole announced that Social D was going to be out in a minute, and this was right after Bad Religion. So all the Bad Religion fans, all the Social D fans, we're going nuts, getting ready for Social D, and then these guys come out, and just this wave of booze comes over the crowd. Everybody in the grass was so pissed off to see these guys come out on the stage.
I was in the seats when that happened, and we didn't hear the booing at all.
Oh, right where they had the little circle pit for Bad Religion right before that, I was right behind those guys, and everybody was pissed off to see these guys.
Well, let's face it, you're primed for social distortion. That's your mindset. And then the L.A. gay men's chorus comes out, or whoever the hell they are, and you're going, what's this all about? And they start singing, they start doing an Incubus song, right? They start with Dig.
Yeah. But it was a pretty big clue.
It's not Brandon's voice, so if the guy's a little bit off key, all this other stuff. And then the second Brandon comes out, everyone starts cheering. You're like, oh, okay, it's somebody we know. All right.
A little judgmental, Matt.
Yeah, boy.
Yeah.
Rush the judgment, that's what I say.
Well, it was awesome to have Brandon and Mike, of course, from the band Incubus. We ran into them backstage. We were just so excited to see them. And they seemed like they were excited about the performance. And I talked about this earlier, but apparently the guys in Incubus saw this band, which is called Ithacapella, saw them doing Dig on YouTube and said, those guys are cool. We need to work with them at some point. And they managed to figure out a way to make it happen for Saturday. So I thought that's going to go down in history as one of the all-time cool K-Rock Weenie Roast surprises, I think.
Speaking of backstage, did anyone run into any big-time celebrities? I thought there was a dearth of celebrities this year. I saw Nikki Hilton. That was like my one big shot. I saw her hanging out backstage, but I didn't see a lot of other celebs.
I didn't see much either. Yeah, thank you for putting it on hold.
That's enough from you.
Did you say Psycho Mike, did you see anybody? Usually got the eyes. I did not. I didn't see anybody.
Nikki Hilton was definitely the biggest celebrity I saw. But I just wanted to say that I've
Mark Thompson. I saw Mark Thompson,
the
weatherman from Channel 11 Fox. I saw him.
Yeah. Rockin' Fig.
Sure. Rockin' Fig. Yeah.
I saw Wayne
Jobson.
But where was our Seth Green and our Allison Hannigan and those types of people that we love to run into at those things? Where were they?
I don't know. I am officially replacing Jared, by the way, with Brandon.
Yeah,
you're swapping over to Brandon.
I was backstage before the show even started, and he got there early to do a sound check, and he had his dog with him on a leash. So I went up, I talked to him about surfing, hung out with him. He was a super cool guy, and he's so unbelievably dreamy. And then he let me hold his dog, and then we talked about dogs. It was everything I wanted in my life. Handsome men, surfing,
talking
and
about dogs. Super Horror, by the way, says that members of Godsmack were there, Avenged Sevenfold, Eagles of Death Metal, a lot of bands hanging out more than like TV and movie stars this time, apparently.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
Let's talk to Cindy, who apparently, calling from Whittier on Kevin Meets What Did Your Nephew on the World Famous Carrick, apparently got food poisoning or something at the show, which is good times. Hey, Cindy, what'd it do?
I'm a wounded K-Rock soldier, Cindy.
What happened, Cindy?
Well, Incubus was killer. I want to say that. That was totally
no, the killers weren't there.
During Korn, I started feeling this wave of a headache coming on and kind of nauseous, and I didn't want to hurl in the seat, so I started walking back to my car because I felt it coming on, and I missed Linkin Park.
You had to go to your car? Couldn't you just go to the restroom?
I could tell it was gonna be bad. I mean, the headache was so bad. You know what I mean? It was just, but I had food poisoning, and then my cousin, I left her in the seat, and I went to the car, and I was a designated driver.
Nice.
So everybody comes back all drunk, and I'm puking, and they're like, "Are you drunk?" And I'm like, "No." But on the way back to the parking lot, I got to see the lead singer of Incubus. They had him in a little golf cart, and my last little Yahoo before I started hurling was, "Go Incubus!"
Let me tell you something about Linkin Park. That was a fierce performance. Those guys came to play.
I puked six times. I could hear him in the background far away.
All right. Enough with your puking.
All right. Thank you for the call, Cindy. We just have time for a couple more. Let's talk to Ben in Whittier. Another funny story from K-Rock Weenie Rose this Saturday. Hey, Ben, what to do, nephew?
Ben?
Yes, Ben.
Ben, you go now.
You go now.
Too bad. We lost Ben.
Ben? He got fleeced, apparently. He had a hot chick flirting with him in the pit that ended up stealing his wallet.
Oh, that's awesome.
All right. Sorry we missed you, Ben. Let's close with Chuck. He is, it says here, calling from, are you in Orlando, Florida right now, Chuck?
I am calling live from Orlando, Florida. That's correct.
How about that?
The power of the internet. You were calling about a story Ralph has been reporting on the Showbiz Beat. What's the deal?
Yeah, apparently you guys were talking about Britney Spears holding up a flight. Mm-hmm. I was on that flight.
You got screwed by Britney Spears.
Go ahead.
You got screwed by Britney Spears.
I got screwed by Britney Spears. Not only that, I'm on her roll of film.
How so?
Well, while we were waiting for the jet bridge to come back over, she was standing at the front of the plane waiting to get off, and I was sitting true. I was back from her, and someone pulled out a camera and took a picture of her. And so she pulled out one of those disposable cameras and took a picture right back at us, and it was me that she got. So,
wow. Well, that's certainly not at all the interesting part of the story, I'll tell you that. But thanks for bringing it up, Chuck. What was the real story? It sounds to us like this must be blown out of proportion or we must have misheard it. It can't really be that she got on a plane and refused to fly because of the seats weren't leather. That can't be the real reason.
That's exactly what the flight attendant told us.
Jeez.
And it was apparently a misunderstanding. She thought that there was going to be a bigger first class, going to have more room and leather seats. In fact, she was in a back room the whole time before the flight, and she was brought on ahead of all of us because I was the first one on the plane. And she was brought on as a special guest with needs.
Mm-hmm,
so
right.
I thought there was a disabled guest or something like that.
And there was.
Well, there was.
I have to say she did look good. She did look good. Yeah, except
what?
She had some really nappy hair extensions.
Yeah, the extensions aren't working for her.
Mm-mm. Right.
No one's buying
that. What did the people on the plane say? What was their reaction when they realized what was going on? Did she get booed?
No, there was no booing. People were just, not sure if it was her or not. But because of her getting off the plane, two people that missed the flight originally got on.
Oh, there's a silver lining.
Yeah.
So some people were happy, I guess.
All right, Chuck. Well, listen, thanks for that first-hand report, man. We appreciate the call.
No problem.
You're really going to enjoy that gift certificate at the Westminster Mall, too, by the way.
Well, he'll probably come back someday.
All right. I want to thank all of our many guests on the Kevin and Bean Show today, including funny man David Alan Greer. His stand-up is tremendous. If you've never had the chance to see him, you ought to check him out this week at the Irvine Improv. He's there Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. Call 949-854-5455. Ralph, how about your new boyfriend, Adrian Pazdar, TV's Nathan Petrelli from Heroes? How about that?
He's the best, and he's an Eagles fan. Come on!
Well, that's everything you could possibly want.
Can't wait for Heroes tonight at 9 o'clock on NBC, the season finale.
Yep.
It's going to be awesome.
Maybe you and Adrian can have a double wedding with Mike and Brandon from Incubus. Maybe all four of you can go down the aisle together.
Take a vacation to Fire Island.
Yeah, it sounds nice.
Hey, we're supposed to be done, and I know we got to go, but we have a late-breaking Dewan update.
What?
You know, he put in his application last week for In-N-Out Burger.
Oh, that's right.
And we want to find out whether that's coming true, his dream is coming true or not. Hey, Dewan.
What's up, Kevin and Bean? It's Dewan from Los Angeles.
Hey, Dewan.
How was your weekend, my friend? Good. How was your weekend?
My weekend was boring and sucked.
It sucked? Why did it suck?
Because I've been waiting for a phone call from In-N-Out Burger. Oh. They haven't called me.
Oh. Well, you put in your application, though, right?
Yep, last Monday.
Well, sometimes it takes a while to process these things. You may still get a call.
I will.
Okay.
For those who don't know, Dewan's dream job is to work for In-N-Out Burger. That's where he wants to spend his time as an employee.
As an associate, helping customers sell, cook their burgers.
Cook their burgers, that's right.
Now, Dewan, is that the long-term goal? I mean, if you could do anything as a grown-up, what you'd want to do is work at In-N-Out Burger? Do you look at this as a long-term career plan?
Yes, I decided to.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, sure, that's supposed to be a good company to work for. I hope it happens. Will you keep us posted?
Yes, I will. I know it's been built in 1948.
That's right. That's when the company started. Dewan, God forbid you don't get the call and you don't get a chance to work for In-N-Out. Do you have a backup plan? Is there another corporation, another business you'd like to work for if you can't get into In-N-Out?
No, I'm still going to apply to this company.
Put all your eggs in one basket. Good idea. All right.
No, I recommend that. Backup plans are for losers, Dewan.
I'm not a loser.
No, you're not.
That's what I'm saying. That's why you don't need a backup plan, because your first choice is going to come through. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
All right. Best of luck with that.
All right, Dewan. We love you, man. Thanks for calling.
You too.
All right, okay. Dwan.
Bye,
see
Dwan.
Drew Barrymore.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, it's Dwan from Los Angeles, California. Soul Train. Soul Train.
There's our boy. Yeah, good times.
He didn't misunderstand that I was calling him a loser.
No,
right?
He understood
that I was saying backup plans are for losers. Dwan doesn't need one because that good.
I think he caught on a little while after you said it. Yes.
Okay, good. All right. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, it's going to be a good one. We've got, Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne are going to be here for starters. How about that?
Sharon!
They had to reschedule their appearance from last week, so they're going to be in here tomorrow. The new Ozzy Osbourne CD comes out tomorrow. By all accounts, it's real, real good. So we'll catch up with them about the Ozfest and everything else. Sharon, of course, she's on that America's Got Talent show that's getting ready to come back. Mm-hmm. So we've got a lot to talk about them, about the first family of rock and roll are going to be here. Also, they were terrific at the Weenie Roast this Saturday. We had a chance to talk to them briefly, but we'll spend some more time with the members of The Bravery. They're going to be in here tomorrow. New album comes out tomorrow and performing live on the Kevin and Bean show tomorrow.
Great.
It's New Album Tuesday.
It certainly is. Also, Ralph, tell us about the call-in topic that we're doing tomorrow. I know this always catches your attention when the Ask Men list comes out.
AskMen.com is a website that, deals with men's issues. It's sort of like an Esquire or GQ or a Maxim-type website. And every year they take a poll of the 10 best pickup lines used by men in bars to try to score. This year's list is phenomenally bad. And so we thought we would talk about that and then open up the phone lines and have our own K-Rock listeners call in, perhaps with some better suggestions of pickup lines that men have used in bars that actually worked for them, or the ladies can call in and say, you know, lines they've heard that actually caught their attention.
I didn't even know. I kind of got the impression that pickup lines were like out now, and it's really just having a conversation with a woman is in now. Isn't that what the new thing is?
They've
just say hi,
in.
My name is?
They've never been in. But guys right. continue to use them. So if guys are going to use them, we might as well weed out the good from the bad. But I know this all list right. is hysterical. I mean, there's such a bizarre list of lines along the lines of the classics. Like, are you Jamaican? Well, Jamaican me horny. You know, that's on the
really?
List of top 10. So there's got to be some better ones than that.
Also, there's a new sponsor we're very happy to welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Apparently, it's a new dating service for people who smoke out. You got one thing in common, at least, you know, when you find each other, and that's the love of the cannabis.
They're
and
into 420-ing.
Apparently, they are. Yeah. We are going to find out more about that. Also, on the show tomorrow, I think we're going to have somebody on from the Doyers. The Los Angeles Dodgers are doing Stitch and Pitch Night again this year. Such a big hit last year. Now, this is where you go. Mike, do I have this right? You go to watch a game, but you take knitting with you?
It's the perfect night for me and my lovely wife, Jenny. She loves nothing more than to stitch stuff, and I love the Dodgers. So that's exactly what you do. You go and you knit, and they allow you to bring in long needles.
I thought it was always Stitch and Pitch Night of the Dodgers, because in the stadium parking lot afterwards, when you get stabbed, someone has to stitch you up.
No, they say, yes, Ralph, but this carries over into the stadium during the game.
I see,
yes.
I see.
That's what Dodger Stadium needs, is to start letting people bring in long, sharp needles. I'm very happy to hear that. So all of that, and of course, more tickets for K-Rock Day at Magic Mountain tomorrow morning here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Stick around. We've got Kat Corbett coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. We'll see if she's recovered from the weenie roast. She'll be playing some new Nine Inch Nails for you. Also, The Killers, their latest called Move Away. We got Stained, Rise Against, Blur, New Pumpkins, and more right after this on K-Rock.